much about.
You got to put it in perspective.
We protect. We serve. And we kick ass till we smell. If anybody has a problem with that, Mickey D's needs all the help they can get. McRib is back.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Now, I forgot what I was going to ask. All vintage Kevin. That was beautiful.
Your friend is completely retarded. You know that?
Hey, man. My little brother's retarded. Don't use that word in a derogatory fashion.
Oh.
Psych, I don't have a retarded brother.
Sid, you suck.
And now, good old Kevin. He'll do anything. Well, guess what? I will not do a good job.
Our feature presentation.
You can't make me. That's true. You cannot.
We've tried.
Me. That's true.
It's the monkey, ladies and gentlemen. It's the return of the monkey.
Yay!
What's happening?
What's happening with you?
You know.
Are you alive?
Vacation, you know.
Sure.
Picking a few extra days.
Sounds like a good vacation, too.
Cancun.
Hey, I never asked this in the brief time that you graced us with your presence last week, but is it true that you have a respiratory infection, but somehow the doctor figured out that he had to put his finger up your butt to check that?
Yes, that is true.
Explain that to me.
He was trying to find all the different places where I might have an infection.
Right? Really?
Before he zeroed in on. And I don't know. I've been thinking a lot about this. And
you should. Are you sure he just wasn't trying to date you?
I think doctors, it's going to come out one day that doctors never had to do that in the first place. You know what I mean? Like, and so then this guy calls his friends and goes, I got Kevin. I got him. I told you I would.
This is a game that all doctors play, so then his friend now has to try to figure out a way to stick his finger up somebody's butt because they're in for an ankle injury.
Yes, exactly.
You just have to talk the patient into letting you assume the position.
It's what is the furthest from the, you know, possibility.
Right.
What's wrong? I have a headache. All right, bend over. You know, and then they just put a little mark in their book.
Well, we're going to talk to Dr. Mo about Lisa's fatal disease coming up next time. Let's ask Dr. Mo about that. Not that he'll break the secret code that doctors have, but we'll ask him if he thinks it's likely that the finger needed to go up the butt to check a respiratory infection. Because I have a feeling you just got served,
That's
dude.
That's what I think, too. While I was standing there, I was going, how is this? Whoa, this is not okay.
All right, well, we'll talk more about that later. First, though, here's an unbelievable story from Palos Verdes. You know I'm a big fan of the world's largest. You know that.
Yes.
Sure.
As long as they're not the actual thing.
I accept both. I accept the recreations of world's largest, and I accept actual world's largest. You'll like this one because this is an actual world's largest. Right. This guy's name is Barry Chappell. He's in the paper this morning. He has the world's largest, how do they describe this, ball of chewing gum.
Ew.
And it is 175 pounds of chewing gum. It is actually, kids, Nicorette gum.
Oh.
95,200 pieces of Nicorette, 62 inches in circumference.
What is Nicorette? That's the can't stop smoking?
Yeah.
Yep. That's the gum that tastes like nicotine.
Uh-huh.
Gives you, is that right, Lisa? Puts a small amount of nicotine in your system to stop you from smoking, right?
Right.
And what's he going to do with this ball of gum?
It has been certified by the Ripley's, believe it or not, people. I mean, it's so gross. I mean, Nicorette looks and smells like yellowy nicotine.
Ugh.
He is 50 years old. The thing that was fascinating to me about this story is that he started chewing the Nicorette to quit smoking before his first child was born. Now, that kid is now 15.
Right.
And he's still chewing the Nicorette gum. I thought the Nicorette gum is something that you chew for a while to get you through the tough patch, and then you kind of gradually reduce to the point where I would imagine within a year or so, however long it is, you wouldn't need the gum anymore.
Until the lofty goal of getting the world's largest ball of gum came through. And then he was now I got to keep chewing it.
You know, Nicorette's expensive, too. It's way more expensive than regular gum.
I'm sure it is. Well, apparently, according to this article, he has only been saving the gum in a ball for the last 5-plus years when his second child was born. When he was on an airplane, had no place to throw the gum away, so he rolled it up in a little ball and put it in his pocket, and that's how the whole thing started, he said.
Put it in his pocket? What's happening?
It does seem like you could just put it in a glass or something.
Put it under the seat like everybody else.
These days, he carefully applies the wads of gum he collects to the giant gumball in the moist environment of his sauna, believe it or not.
Can we talk to this guy? There's got to be a way to
get him. I bet we could.
Because really, at what point do you go, wow, I can't figure out any place to put my gum to, I'm a Guinness World Record holder for the world's largest ball of gum.
Yeah.
I'm saving all of it.
I don't get it either. It's a weird thing. I mean, look, people save a lot of weird things. I mean, we've done stories with people who have the world's largest collection of their own fingernails. You know, I mean, people do save some crazy stuff, but the world's largest medicated gumball. I don't know that that's a record that needs to exist at all.
Is that
right?
A different record from a regular gumball?
Oh, I'm sure it is.
The Nicorette gumball?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. This is medicated gumball.
Sure.
This didn't even touch the regular gumball.
I saw medicated gumball, by the way, over the weekend at the Troop. They were very good.
Yeah, we can try to talk to this guy and find out what's up.
Because really, at what point do you just go, I might be wasting my life?
The last line of this article of the Daily Breeze newspaper, by the way, is, I would love to get completely off Nicorette gum. Now, it seems like more than 15 years. It sounds to me like he's addicted to Nicorette gum, right?
Yes. Well, yeah, completely.
Of course. Well, I think he's addicted to the ball.
Maybe that's it, too. Yeah.
I think he's, now that this goal has taken over, like, there's no possible way he could, if I stop chewing gum, then what's going to happen with the world's largest ball of gum?
Right. Well, I think his record is fairly secure. I don't think he needs to worry about keep adding on to
And I wonder. I don't know that. I don't know if there's, like, somebody calling him up going, chewed another stick today. Put it on the ball. I'm right on you, nipping at your heels for the
maybe
record.
So.
Wow. I would love to talk to that guy. What a loser. What a giant loser.
Honestly. Still married, too.
Seriously, like, though. I mean,
honey, can we please get rid of the ball?
Can we at least just put the ball out
my
back?
God.
No, it needs to be preserved.
Wow. All right. Well, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I'm asking you as a man to stop this immediately.
Bean, why don't you tell us what we have since I've been out playing?
Okay. Well, let me see if I can find a schedule then. I was not prepared for that. Hang on, see if Dave sent me one.
Here I have a schedule. Kevin and King of Mexico's bet.
Yes, we have not been able to talk about this because you've been gone, but you guys had a Lakers Clippers bet, and I believe this weekend Dave was going to pay up. I think he was going to pay the man. Former Sports Guy Money laid out the terms for us. We'll find out what they were and what he had to do since the Lakers beat the Clippers. That's part of what's going on
today. I can't wait for that. That's going to be so fun. I've never cared more about a game than I did that one. Just because, and it isn't, you know, what you have to do. It's that I don't want to lose to Dave.
Right.
Anything.
I understand that.
And a penny.
I would certainly never cared more about a essentially meaningless regular season game. That's for sure.
Right.
Also, Khloe Kardashian has a radio show. We got some competition now. So far, she's only on in Dallas, but she's doing a radio show out there.
Talking about, love to hear that.
I'm sure she eats a lot while she's on the air. I mentioned we're going to talk to Dr. Mo, and in fact, we are, because Lisa has not been feeling just right since she got back from Costa Rica, and she's concerned she may have malaria.
Awesome.
Yeah, I tried to give blood last week, and they said, no, you've been to Costa Rica, and you were in an area that is...
That's
has a malaria
great.
Problem, and you can't give blood for a year.
A year?
Yeah, and I thought, you know, I have not been feeling good. I just don't feel right. And I've had days where I felt like I was feverish and
achy.
Achy, yeah.
Hi, it's the poop eater.
Was there any of that going on?
There was none of that going on.
Malaria.
And I certainly was attacked by some mosquitoes. But so I'm thinking maybe malaria.
Maybe malaria light, though. Isn't malaria something pretty serious?
Well, it depends. I went online. I did a little research. There's four different strains. And so it depends on what strain you get. Sometimes it can show up 8 months after.
Dude.
Oh, sweet.
You've been attacked. So maybe I'm slowly ramping up.
I love it.
Yeah.
Malaria, also, that's so chic.
It is. I mean, look, anybody can get a cold these days.
Right.
But malaria, now that,
I need to step up my game.
We're going to talk about that woman who was going through the drive-thru at a McDonald's in Burbank, opening up car doors to people waiting in line to get their drive-thru food and offering them sex if they would pick her up some McNuggets. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about all the many things that you have been offered sex for, because I guarantee that that works as currency these days and forever.
Oh, anything women want, they can get. It's just a matter of whether they're willing to do that.
Right.
If they are willing to do that, they can get a car. Doesn't matter.
Exactly. Absolutely, yeah.
House.
We're gonna talk about that. I've got some audio of a fascinating young woman in Seattle who yesterday, if all went according to plan, and I haven't seen the follow-up on this, yesterday was scheduled at 1 o'clock to marry a building in downtown Seattle.
Oh, those are my people.
Yes, she's going to marry a building.
Remember those people that were in love with a bridge and all that stuff?
Yeah.
I love those people.
Well, she has her own reasons for wanting to marry this particular 107-year-old building, so we'll hear some audio from her. Josh Macchiello is going to be joining us in studio today. He is 36 years old. Is this the Dodger guy? He's the guy who's trying to buy the Los Angeles Dodgers, yes. Made a fortune in mining, apparently, and has diversified from there and has made a fortune in lots of other areas, too. Very acute businessman. Very young, though. He would be the youngest franchise owner, you know, in Major League Baseball if they'll let him do it. But he believes he would be a great person to run the team, and he believes he could bring a World Series back to Los Angeles, and he is serious about it, and he's got the money.
Look.
And he is one of the bids.
Anyone could be a good owner now. Right?
If you go after
the McCourts,
yeah.
I mean, it's you can only go up. I could be a good owner now.
But the you know, the question is, if you're Major League Baseball and over here you got you know, Magic Johnson, and over here you got Mark Cuban, and over here you got who's this guy, are you even going to give who's this guy the benefit of the doubt? You know, because let's face it, there is a certain amount of that involved as well.
Sure.
But sure. It'd be fascinating to hear what he's got going on and how he intends to make the Dodgers. He said we'd already have Prince Fielder. He would already be signed by the Dodgers right now instead of the Tigers as an example of something that would make the fans happy if he were running the place. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com is going to be on the program today. And speaking of sports, Andrew Siciliano is on the ground in Indianapolis. And we'll talk to him today to find out what the week of the Super Bowl looks like.
Fabulous homecoming of the Colts as they play in their own Super Bowl. Isn't this great?
Well, no. I think the Colts only won two. Oh. So, no, they're not playing.
All right, we'll get to that, and we'll take a quick break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:56.
Yeah, that's right. I'm an athlete. Hello.
You're an athlete because you got up on...
Because I stood on a chair.
Moved a light.
Yeah. All right. Don't tell me, man. I said don't tell me.
I didn't. I wasn't saying anything.
Okay. Good.
I was only glad that you were here when I was listening to the replay on the way in, and Bean and Lisa were talking about how they couldn't kill a...
Lobster.
Oh my God.
Mother effers.
I kept yelling, Ralph, please come in. Ralph, please come in.
I tried not to because I know, after so many years, I get the rep of just being the angry guy who's angry at everything. And then they make me angry. What am I supposed to do then?
Yeah.
I Hulk out. just like Bill Bixby on the old show.
Well, I can't help myself. I was happy that you stepped in and made some sense.
Well, I'm happy to represent the reasonable folks, while you're gone, Kevin. It's hard when you're not around, man.
By the way, we also need to find... I was thinking when Lisa said she couldn't kill a...
Lobster?
No, a
cockroach.
Oh, yeah, cockroach.
Crunch. I can't do that.
I want to know where the line is with Lisa and Bean, because I guarantee you Bean won't kill, like, ants. You know what I mean? Like, spiders.
Bean won't spray Lysol because he thinks bacteria are sentient beings who should be kept as pets.
Peter, are you there? Can you hear us?
Am I back on now?
Did you fire Bean again?
Oh, fantastic. No, I've been
on. Oh, here he is.
Been on, as far as I knew, the whole time. I didn't know.
No. I've been screaming and emailing and IMing to try to get back on the air.
Yeah. Thank you. It's nice to hear from you, Bean.
What is the line? I don't have any problem killing cockroaches. I won't kill spiders, though, because spiders are positive.
They're our friends.
They're nothing but good, so I just put spiders outside. I do kill flies. I mean, I think I kill a reasonable amount of things. It was very tough killing a lobster, though. I got to tell you, that was troubling to me.
But you did it, didn't you?
I did, yes. I had Clawy and Pinchy Friday night, and then I had nightmares about Clawy and Pinchy at night.
Dude, the answer is just two to the back of the head. Then when you put them in the water, there's nothing.
We did get a bunch of emails from folks who said there's a way you can take a sharp knife and put it to the back of their necks.
Oh, right. And
drive it through. Severs the semblance of a spinal cord that they have, instant death, and then you just throw them immediately into the water because you can't let them die before you boil them, because then
they don't taste right.
The meat doesn't taste right. So
you can't let them die of old age and then eat them. It doesn't work that way.
Bean just kept his prisoners in a fridge.
Well,
weeks
they
and weeks on end
for 2 days,
wrapped in plastic
for 2 days
in the air, just suffering in the cold.
Please put us in the hot water.
they were still alive and they were delicious too. I have to tell you, they were delicious.
Right.
But it was a little bit like wearing a blood diamond. I have to say, it wasn't as wholly satisfying as it would have been if I hadn't killed them. Myself.
Glad to hear it. Glad to hear they're dead and eaten.
All right, time for the showbiz.
All right, let's get to some showbiz news because it's Monday morning. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. This was a bit of a surprise over the weekend. The Gray, the new Liam Neeson action-adventure film about a group of oil workers in Alaska who go down in a plane crash and have to fend off a pack of hungry wolves.
I wanted to see that, but I didn't have the energy, but it looked good.
I hear it's terrifying.
I heard it's great. And here's the sweet thing, and I hope this is sort of an indicator, and, you know, I hope this every time one of these things go around, and it doesn't seem to make a difference, but the movie was made for $25 million.
Right.
It's a low-budget, high-quality, like, well-crafted script and performance-based film. $25 million it cost to make. It made $20 million this weekend. So it almost made back its entire budget.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's a good business model. Less overblown spectacle. I mean, there's certainly room for those movies. I love them as much as the next guy. But let's invest in some smaller films, too, with the hopes of making more profit. It looks like The Gray will. So congratulations.
Should work on a little bit of the script, make it a good story, that
exactly,
kind of thing.
Yeah. Underworld Awakening did $12.5 million, made it number two at the box office. One for the Money in its debut, the Katherine Heigl film that Lisa May couldn't wait to see. Did you go see that, Lisa?
No. Bean sent me a Rolling Stone review that basically said, based on the first movie, they will never make a sequel.
It won't be a franchise.
Yeah,
huh?
It's just... And they didn't release it for critics either.
$11.8 million made it number three this weekend. Red Tails was fourth. Man on a Ledge came in at number five. Extremely loud and incredibly close. $7 million made it number six. The Descendants, Contraband, Beauty and the Beast, and Haywire rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Anybody watch the SAG Awards last night?
Very entertaining, was it, Ralph?
It was very entertaining.
What?
It's one of my favorite awards shows of the year.
Are you always serious?
No, I am.
It's always good, and it makes you wonder how the Golden Globes could have tried so hard and sucked so bad, and this one was just effortless and just people having a good time and saying nice things.
That's the thing I found, was they make it look so easy.
Yes.
One, there's no host. No, that's what's sweet about it. They just bring out stars. It's easy, too, because it's the SAG Awards, so it's all A-level actors from television and film. So there's
all friends. That bad patter back and forth between each other where they
write some banter, but the banter's pretty funny. And often they let the people come up with their own stuff, which is clever. Like the cast from Bridesmaids, for example, came out because they have an award for best ensemble in a film. And so Kristen Wiig was out there, and Maya Rudolph, and Melissa McCarthy. And they all came out and they talked about this drinking game they had called the Scorsese drinking game. Anytime it says Scorsese, you have to take a drink.
Right.
Melissa McCarthy had a bottle of Grey Goose about the size of my arm. And they started forcing it into conversation, so they're just knocking back drinks on stage. I mean, it was a lot of fun.
That's funny.
And good awards, too. A lot of good people. One male actor in a leading role in a film was Jean Desjardins for The Artiste.
Yeah. Kevin's favorite.
Female actor in a leading role was Viola Davis for The Help.
Good.
Supporting actor was Christopher Plummer for Beginners. Boy, he's looking like an odds-on Oscar favorite right now.
Yes.
Octavia Spencer won that for the women in The Help, and Best Cast in a Motion Picture went to The Help. Too many awards to talk about here, but just really quickly, the Outstanding Ensemble in a comedy on television was Modern Family. An Outstanding Performance by Ensemble in a Drama was Boardwalk Empire. So really, no complaints about any of those awards last night.
Wow.
But a very entertaining show if you happen to catch it. Before I get to showbiz birthdays, I do want to give you a heads up. This is awesome. This is really awesome. I'm going to be giving away all week the passes to this event that I'm going to be hosting, and I'm very excited about it. It is the K-Rock sneak peek at never-before-seen footage from the upcoming Amazing Spider-Man movie from Sony. If you're a geek like I am, you cannot wait for this film.
Wait, it's an upcoming movie.
The Amazing Spider-Man is coming out this year.
Okay.
We are having a sneak peek to show some footage from the film that hasn't been seen yet.
Oh, I see.
Remember when they did Dark Knight and they showed you the first 10 minutes up at the IMAX theaters, you know? This is an event where we're showing footage from Amazing Spider-Man at the AMC Century City on Monday, February 6th. The cool thing is we're going to do it worldwide simultaneously. This event is going to happen around the world.
Hmm.
And there are going to be some very special surprises happening during the course of the screening as well. I can't tell you what it is.
What surprise could there be?
But if you are a Spider-Man fan, if you've been looking forward to this film, this is going to be the event to be at. I've got a pair of passes right now to a listener who can answer the following trivia question. And you got to answer it quick, because you have to have the answer by the time I'm done with the birthdays. It's just that simple. The Lizard, of course, is the featured villain in this new Amazing Spider-Man movie.
True.
That is true.
The question is,
give me the name of his secret identity. Who is the Lizard? I need the real name of the Lizard. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First person to get through with the right answer, we'll get a pair of passes to this very special Amazing Spider-Man event that I will be hosting, and I'm looking forward to very much. Today's celebrity birthdays, one of my favorite actors, well, a bunch of my favorite actors having birthdays today, Gene Hackman, 82 years old today. Where the hell's Gene Hackman been, by the way?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Doesn't work enough.
He was in every movie for 30 years.
I think he made a ton of money, and then he said, you know what, I'm going to retire.
Didn't he get hit by a car 2 weeks ago and is in serious condition in
the
hospital?
I had no idea.
Is that true?
Yeah, he got hit by a car. He was riding a bicycle in
that.
in Florida and got hit by an automobile and was in the hospital.
I didn't hear it was serious.
Huh. Yeah, well, I mean...
Well, you get hit by a car and a bicycle. I heard they were talking about how cool he was and he bounced right back up and went to the hospital briefly and then was released.
No. He was in for several days. I know that. I don't know if, you know, I assume he's out and okay, but I imagine we won't be seeing him for a while.
Well, it hasn't kept him from making movies the past 5 years.
Right.
He wasn't hit by a bike every week. Come on, Gene.
He is a great actor, though. He
one
is
of the best.
One of the all-time best.
Yeah. And one of those actors who is project-proof. He can be in any movie, and he will be great. He will be unscathed no matter what kind of movie he's in.
True.
Vanessa Redgrave, 75 years old today. Musician Phil Collins is 61. Charles Dutton is 61 years old as well. Christian Bale.
I'm Batman. I'm making one less Batman movie, and then I'm going to be Batman anymore.
He is 38 years old today. Wilder Valderrama is 32. We have an answer to my trivia question?
We do, as a matter of fact.
Alfonso in line one.
Alfonso? Yes, it's Dr. Kurt Connors.
Dr. Kurt Connors is the lizard. Absolutely correct, sir. You are going. You got a pair of passes to this very special, amazing Spider-Man event that I will be hosting at the AMC Century
City. It's only 5 minutes long because
it's
just
February 6th. Oh, it's more than that. It's so much more than that. You're going to be so happy you're going to be there. Thanks for calling in. And hold on. We'll give you the details, okay? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're going to meet a 36-year-old later on today who plans to buy and run the Los Angeles Dodgers.
That's easy.
We need to get some jobs in the Josh Machiello administration. Maybe we can all get jobs in baseball out of this if we suck up enough. It'd be great, especially for you, Kevin.
We'd have to start chewing.
They don't allow you to chew anymore for a number of years in baseball. Just go. Speaking of sports, you were out last week, Kevin. We did not get a chance to do follow-up on the latest Lakers-Clippers matchup, which I know there was a great deal of interest around, partly because the Clippers had won the first matchup between these two L.A. teams this year, and the Clippers are very good. And David King of Mexico, as you know, has done nothing but mouth off with his little Clipper song and everything. I mean, he is you know, as excited as all the other Clippers fans. And he, Dave, I guess you really thought your team was going to win that one, right?
Of course I did. I mean, they won the last one by 9, so why wouldn't they win this one?
Because the Lakers can play well and play poorly, as can the Clippers.
You realize the Lakers were on a 3-game losing streak at the time.
Yeah.
So
I felt good about it because I thought
you think there's no way they could.
And they got beat last time by the Clippers. So I was like, they're in the locker room right now going, nope, not again. Not going to happen again.
Well, it almost happened.
Dave and I bet every year about Lakers Clippers, and it's not because he's a Clipper fan, it's because he's a Laker hater. Let's be honest.
Right.
As most Clipper fans are. And I understand that. That's fine. But then, so every year we have a bet, and every year we have to come up with creative bets because the Lakers have been demolishing the Clippers until this year when the Clippers have a fantastic team. Now all of a sudden we're actually betting for reals. But we had a bet on the Laker-Clipper game, and this is Matt Money Smith, our former sports guy, with the idea of how to pay it off.
If, in fact, the Clippers win, I want Kevin to hop on the freaking Catalina Express and have to take it across the freaking Pacific Ocean to Catalina and snap a photo in front of Mario's there in Avalon and then drag his ass all the way back. Because
what?
It's going to put you out for 5 hours and it's going to suck.
That would suck. That would suck big time. So I'm sitting on the couch and I'm watching. And then here's his idea for Dave.
Because Dave's Mexican. he's got to sneak in.
Barely.
To Sherwood. And he's got to swim across the lake.
Sherwood. Where's Sherwood?
Lake Sherwood. You know, where Wayne Gretzky lives and all those fancy folks. I want you out there. I want a twit pic of Dave the King of Mexico in Lake Sherwood, just cruising around. You know,
that sounds cold.
In maybe his cut-offs?
Yeah, you know, of course.
No, I mean, long jeans.
Brilliant racist observation, Lisa, man. Cut-off jeans. Absolutely.
He's Mexican.
Absolutely. Or you know what? How about this? We'll put you out, too. You got to drive your ass up to Lake Arrowhead. Now, snap a photo, turn around, come right back.
That's more like it.
Come on. How about that? How about that, people?
I'm in. So I've been out. You're in. All right. So I've been out 6.
Yeah.
Lakers won. What, they win by like 6 points or something?
5.
5 points.
It's not get crazy.
Doesn't matter.
6.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, they got lucky.
So, doesn't matter.
Stupid Artest.
Doesn't matter.
Yes, Ron Artest.
By the way.
Meta World Peace.
Meta World Peace.
No, Ron Artest.
Ron Artest this year blows. He's terrible. I can't say how much I don't like him this year. But he did fine. And
he did jump on Blake's head and drop a knee on him. So no foul call.
Did you take a photo?
Sure did.
Did you go to Lake Arrowhead?
Yep.
All right, let's go to the website. The stupid Lakers beat the Clippers last week. How dare you? So I jumped at a lake. So here's a picture of the lake. And this is Lake Arrowhead. If you go to kevinandb.com or krock.com, you can see that. That's the worst photoshopping.
Dave, you didn't even try.
It's the worst photoshopping I've ever seen.
No way. There's water there.
Where are you really?
There's water. You see the waves, right? You see the waves crashing behind me?
Yes.
Knee deep in water.
Right. Where were you when you took the picture that you then later photoshopped poorly onto this?
Lake Arrowhead.
No, you weren't.
You could tell that there.
Dave, it's not even.
The water's the same color. Look at that.
But that's what you.
It's kind of not even Photoshop. It's cut and paste. It's not even the least bit.
Hawaii is the same as Lake Arrowhead, right?
Dave,
that counts.
Listen, I would have gone and done my part had I lost. You got to pay bets on this show, dude.
Of course, I'm going to pay the
bet.
When
are you going to Lake Arrowhead? This is a total fake, total Photoshop.
I didn't have time to go this weekend.
Acceptable.
I didn't have time to go this weekend, so I will be heading up there Wednesday.
Wednesday,
I will go up and take my picture.
No Photoshop,
no
BS.
Photoshop BS. I am a man of the word. My word.
You are a man of the word.
And
that's true. You're a preacher. A lot of people don't know that.
I wasn't gonna pay off the bet when you're not here because that's no fun for anybody.
I agree.
So now that you're
but
back,
you didn't pay off the bet now that I'm here either.
That's but bad. Now that you're back,
that's not even good Photoshop.
Well, I'm not good at Photoshop. So,
do the teams play again this year?
Yes, in April.
Play one more
can't
time.
Wait.
And we had a lot of bets, I mean, as far as who goes further, who makes the playoffs, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Which we do every year, and I've won, I don't know, I think I've won...
all of them?
The gross national debt of Mexico.
I am poor because Kevin has all my money.
That's so sad.
So Dave's trying to win it all back this year, but apparently that game, not the game to bet on,
not
Dave.
At all.
You're going to bet on the next one?
Yeah, this Wednesday, of course I am, but this Wednesday I will go up to Lake Arrowhead and...
And you'll take...
Yeah, I guarantee.
Multiple photos.
I'll document my trip.
By the way, I can check closely and see what's Photoshopped and what's not, just so you know.
Yes, well, that's cool. But trust me, I'll go up. I pay my bets.
All right. You lose.
You suck.
K-Rock World Tour 2012, destination number 5. You go to Amsterdam to see Korn. Your chance to qualify with tickets to the Smokeout Festival coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday. Khloe Kardashian is now doing a radio show. Nobody needs that, right? That doesn't help our industry.
Are you kidding? The more Kardashian, the better.
She is now living in Dallas, of course, with her husband, Lamar Odom, who plays for the Mavericks. And she is going to be doing a radio show starting, I want to say, today. Starting today on Mix 102.9. I don't know very much more about it than that, but we asked producer Dave if he could line up the beautiful Khloe for us. And I think we've got her on the phone right now. Hi, Khloe. How are you? Oh, wow. Someone answered the phone, but Chloe's not there yet, so she's walking toward it.
Hello?
Hi, Khloe.
Hi. Hi, Ryan. Hi, Alan. How are you?
Nope. Kevin and Bean,
Hi,
Khloe.
Big boy. Hi, Tito. How are you?
No, still Kevin and Bean, Khloe.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Brian.
Where's Lamar?
Hi, Carson. Hi, food truck.
What happened to Lamar Odom?
Lamar's busy.
Oh.
I'm here at the station getting ready for the show.
Oh, I see.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I thought we called you at home. You're at the station.
Yes,
fantastic.
I'm getting ready for the mix-up with Khloe Kardashian Odom. KKO!
Why?
My new sign on. I hope you like it.
It's beautiful. Why are you doing a radio show? Radio is the lowest form
hold on
of
a second. Hold on a second. I'm on the air.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
You're listening to the mix-up with Khloe Kardashian Odom. KKO with Mix 102.9. Hey, did you see those SAG awards last night? I give a SAG award every time I see my sister Kim's butt. All right, we'll be right back after Born This Way by Lady Gaga. We're going to be playing that. And Kim was born this way, born stupid. And we're clear. Okay.
Okay.
What?
Khloe, it sounds like you're talking a lot about Kim.
No, not at all. I didn't bring her up. Why would I? Because I have my own show. I don't need her because she's dumb.
Okay, but you're doing nothing but trashing your sister that made you famous, though. I don't understand what the point
of
that
is. I'm not just her sister, okay? I have my own talents and my own gifts to give to the world.
Okay, what are those?
My sparkling personality and my lovely radio voice.
Why do you want to do a radio show? It seems like you're already everywhere all the time, always. It's not like you don't have an outlet to get your thoughts out there.
I have a gift. I have a dream. And you have to pursue your dreams. I think if our show, Keeping Up the Kardashians, shows anything, it's pursue your dreams. And maybe someday you can be rich and famous like we are. Because that's how we got there, but by pursuing our dreams. And because my mom banged OJ.
Yeah, there's that.
Hold a second. I'm coming out of commercial. Hold a second.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You're listening to The Mix-Up with Khloe Kardashian Odom, KKO, on Mix 102.9. I'll tell you, it sure is humid out there in Texas today, isn't it? it's so humid that it's almost like Kim's in between her legs.
Really?
Coming up next is Teenage Dream by Katy Perry. When I was a teenager, my dream was to kill Kim.
Chloe.
All right. Right back after this.
I'm going to move to Texas and do nothing but listen to your show, Chloe.
Thank you. I'm glad.
Hey, party people, thanks for listening here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Andrew Siciliano doing the NFL Network show at 4 p.m. live all this week from Indianapolis. He is on the ground at the site of the Super Bowl, and he'll be joining us later on today to tell us all about that. Kevin, we're supposed to talk to our friend Dr. Mo, who, as you know, is the chief of surgery at the little company of Mary and San Pedro. We're supposed to talk to him on Friday. But, Mo, do I have this right? You blew us off just because some guy got shot in the neck and you had to operate on him instead?
Hello.
Hey, can you hear us?
There you are. Bob. I heard you in the background.
Sorry about that. Hey, Mo, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, good. How are you guys?
Thanks for joining us. Listen, we got two things we need to talk to you about real quick. And we know you're very busy over there, but we have to ask.
Ask me.
One is Kevin was out for a few days sick last week with a respiratory illness. He claims that the doctor told him they were trying to find the source of the infection, so it was essential that the doctor put his finger up Kevin's butt. Now, to us, we think he was just screwing with him.
That's what I think. I think the doctor went home and said, you'll never believe this. This dude had some kind of upper respiratory infection or maybe sinuses, and I put my finger up his butt.
Like, is that something that you doctors do just to amuse each other to see what you can get away with? Like, no matter what I come in for, you're going to figure out a way to sodomize me?
No. Seriously. I don't know what kind of doctor you have. That's not my idea of a good time.
No, that was my first thought, was any job that includes this is not a job for me. I do not want to have any part of that.
Is it possible that it was medically sound, Dr. Mo, that he really could have been looking for a quote-unquote source of infection?
I don't know what all of your symptoms were, and I don't want to get too personal, but sometimes if people have a certain type of GI discomfort, it is important to see if there's any blood or anything else down there.
None of that.
just a little cough.
Just having some issues. They were not down there.
Has it been a while since you've seen a doctor?
Yeah, that it has.
Okay. Well, then maybe it was just part and parcel of being checked for stuff like prostate issues.
He's not going to tell the truth.
Yeah, they cover for score. Each other. Yeah. They cover.
You're covering.
Okay.
All right. I got you.
All right.
I'm trying.
Lisa, why don't you tell Dr. Mo what your symptoms are? Because we're concerned that we're losing you as well.
Yeah, so I went to Costa Rica over the holidays and then found out that they are having a malaria issue and couldn't give blood because of that. And I thought, you know what? I have not felt good since I've been there. In fact, I did go to the doctor because I thought I had a sinus infection because my head was just feeling like super full all the time. And
that
makes you feel like you're sick. So I got the Z-Pak and I took that and it changed nothing. I get headaches. I get really, really cold sometimes, and then I'll wake up in the middle of the night and have to kick off all the covers.
Plus, you keep talking and you don't let anyone else speak.
Wait, I'm giving him my symptoms.
Well, I know, but let him ask a question or two here,
God's sakes. All right. And then my boyfriend went as well.
Or don't.
And he's having some of the same and lower back pain. And we decided maybe we have malaria.
Does she, in fact, have malaria? Are we that lucky?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you. That's the coolest.
No, I don't know yet. Now, the time period is right. After a malarial infection, and going back a little bit, that's basically where you get bit by a mosquito and this parasite gets passed into you.
Right.
It gets into your bloodstream, goes to your liver, changes into a couple different things, infects your blood cells. They start rupturing, and you start getting these high fevers, chills, and flu-like symptoms.
Yeah, that?
That sounds like it. Exactly.
Okay. Before we go too nuts, almost every single freaky tropical disease that comes out of Costa Rica has high fevers, chills, and flu-like symptoms. So it's not that helpful yet, but we'll get there. We'll get there. Now, have you, besides the Z-Pak, have you taken anything?
Mm-mm.
All right.
Let me just interrupt you for one second. Does the Z-Pak do anything for anyone? Ever?
I know.
Kinda.
Please.
Just
right,
a pat
ahead.
On the head.
Go ahead.
Yeah, kinda. Now, you said you were there over the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Well, most of these suckers do kick in a week to 10 days after, but malaria can happen a month or two after. So
sweet.
If we're being
sweet. No, that's great.
Now, it's super common. Yeah, there's 300 to 500 million cases of malaria a year. So I can understand why, and there's a thing going on in Costa Rica right now.
Yeah.
Honestly, when people have headaches, fevers, and chills, and lower back pain, and that sort of stuff, that's so common with so many other type of stuff that it's, you know, I can't say you have, like, malaria over the phone.
Say it.
Well,
say
what else could I
say
have?
Say she has it.
It'd be a lot cooler if she did.
What's another tropical disease?
You want to go there?
She wants a good one.
Nasty. I mean, have you, like, actually taken your temperature? Like, do you know how high it ever got, or was it just subjective?
It was subjective.
Okay. Have you ever
So she's
it?
Super worried about this.
I had a thermometer, but it kept saying 97.8, and I knew that wasn't right.
She couldn't even take her temperature. That's how worried she is.
This is one of those electronic ones.
Hey, she's taking it seriously. She's talking to a doctor on the phone about it, Kevin.
That's
come
true.
On. And hey, well, that's a start.
Okay, yeah. So she's never taken her temperature. Good. Go ahead.
Now, it doesn't sound like she's got the brain infection.
Yet.
And your lungs and kidneys haven't failed yet.
No.
So I guess you're in the early stages of malaria.
Yes.
It can come on like months later, can't it?
Yeah, some actually strains? Up to a year after being exposed.
A year? That's a ripoff. They should have to show themselves before then.
Is there anything that she can do that would be preventative if she suspects she has malaria, something she can do now to prevent it from coming on full-blown?
No. Z-Pack.
No. The idea is you get it before you go down. To Costa Rica.
Yeah, did you get a shot before you went?
I didn't, and I went online, and the World Health Organization said don't bother.
Know?
Yeah, here's a weird question. You didn't happen to go to the Limon province in Costa Rica?
No, I didn't. It was Manuel Antonio they were concerned with.
Oh, because there is another outbreak in this Limon province. So.
I just saw that, too.
Yeah. All right, let's cut to the chase here, Dr. Mo. Yeah. Should we be advertising for a new traffic person?
I think the second that her eyeballs start to bleed. Yeah.
Eyeballs bleeding.
So that's what we're looking
okay,
for.
Okay, that's
well,
the
that's
sign.
It's going to be the dengue fever, which is kind of cool, where, like, it's called a breakbone fever, that your bones hurt so much it feels like they're breaking all the time.
Oh, and you go, dang, that hurts.
And then, remember right? You guys were talking about elephantiasis?
Yes.
Costa Rica.
Really?
Oh, fantastic. Ooh. Lisa might get that, too.
She might have giant balls.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Wow, everybody goes to Costa Rica. Nobody else has issues.
Yeah, Costa Rica's the devil's playground, Lisa. I had no idea.
Yeah, you got bitten by a female sandfly by any chance?
How is she supposed to know? Hey, fly, come back here. I'd like to check your sex.
Well, no, you'd know because you get these horrible ulcers in your mouth and stuff that would start giving you a cough and fever and that sort of stuff.
That's some nasty stuff.
This interview has not been brought to you by the Costa Rica Tourism Board. All right, so basically, Dr. Mo, we're out of time, but what you're saying is Lisa can't do anything to prevent it if it is malaria. She just needs to keep an eye on the symptoms, and if they get worse, she then does what?
Dies.
Well, no, she's not going to die. I wouldn't get too freaked out if there's no fevers. That's one of the hallmarks of malaria.
Okay.
Hey,
so it's probably just a bogus type of viral thing that has taken you a long time to get over.
That's not very cool.
It's
but
not
if
very
my
cool at all.
Eyeballs start to bleed,
then it's dang.
Then I got something going on.
Then you got
on.
A problem.
Call me, yeah.
Okay. Sounds good.
In general, that's probably good advice for everyone.
Probably.
If you're bleeding from the eyes.
I'd probably do that anyway.
I appreciate that. I'm here for you.
Maybe check in with the doctor.
No wonder your behind is bleeding.
What about that?
that's why you stuck the finger up.
Ralph Garman?
Yeah.
How did it go with Mr. West on Saturday night?
Well, that's right. That was you and Adam West.
Yeah.
Was it
I got to post some pictures that we took that night. But I said this
He's
on stage
best.
When I got up there. I said, I've been waiting my whole life to have this conversation.
You didn't start with that, did you?
I did.
Oh, man.
Not to him. I told it to the crowd.
Oh, okay.
I said, you know, I've been on stage a bunch of times, and I don't think I've ever been more nervous. And it's the truth. I was like rattled.
You're never.
And I know Adam. We're friends, yeah. But there's something about sitting
it's
down.
Like you were
with
meeting
him
for the first time, or
no?
Something.
But it's something about sitting down and being able to talk about his entire life and career. Which, when Adam and I run into each other or a Family Guy or something, we say hi and we talk about family and stuff. But I never had the chance to ask him the questions that I got to ask Saturday.
Which night. You had a lot of.
Which I had a lot of. Yeah, it was 2 hours of grilling this poor guy on stage. But it was an amazing night. Everybody had a blast and was sold out. And it was just so much fun. And if you'd like to hear the podcast, we've already loaded up the audio podcast,
oh,
and we put the pictures and videos that we showed that night also up on a Tumblr. So you can check it all out if you go to Ralph Garman, all one word, .bandcamp, as in one time
at
Bandcamp,
ralphgarman.com. So it's ralphgarman.bandcamp.com, and you can download the audio podcast there. And it costs a couple bucks, but all the donations are going towards paying for Adam Starr on the Hollywood Walk of Fame that he's going to get later this year. So it was a great event. Again, a lot of K-Rock listeners were there, and it was sold out, and I really appreciate everybody stepping up and coming out. So good times.
So awesome.
Good
so
times. And he was great, and he says hi to you guys, by the way. He made sure to relay that message to everybody here at the show. He misses us, and he wants to come in soon. So
he's the best. That's awesome. Well, definitely. We should put up a post to krock.com, too, with that I'll link do that. So people can easily find it.
I will throw that together, and we'll throw it up today on the website.
Would you accept sex for McNuggets? That's what we'll be talking about coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Beach Show. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Monday.
I'd accept sex from Adam West. We could work that out somehow.
I don't think those are tied in.
Yeah. He's so funny. He's a crazy person, by the way.
He is.
He's nuts.
Is he, like, literally nuts?
Yeah,
like,
I think he's a little crazy. Oh. But, like, in that fun, good Mayor Adam West kind of way, you know?
Right.
But the day before the show, he sends me an email and says, "What are you wearing to the event?" "Here's what I'm wearing. Dark blue jeans, dress shirt, blazer, and a thong on the outside of my pants." He sent me that in an email. Adam West just sent me an email about wearing a thong. So I wrote back and said, "I'll be wearing my traditional leather jacket, also dress shirt, blue jeans, and a studded dog collar."
Sweet.
And he wrote back and said, "Damn, upstaged again." So,
hey, baby. Take a gander at some Adam West penis?
Yeah. No.
I did Adam to Adam during the podcast, which is always unnerving.
You did your impression to him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always a little unnerving.
But your Adam West is really good.
Well, I like to think so. Yeah. It was very funny.
Look, long after Mr. West is gone, you'll be continuing to do phone interviews on his behalf.
How dare you? He's never going anywhere. He's forever. He's like cats.
I hope you're right.
He's cats.
Is he cats?
Now and forever. Different superhero. How about the Amazing Spider-Man? He's pretty cool, too. No Batman, but he's pretty cool.
Yeah.
The new movie's coming out, and I will be hosting a very special sneak peek event at the AMC Century City on Monday, February the 6th. It is going to be footage. We're going to be screening some footage for Spider-Man fans that no one has seen before. It's going to be a worldwide event. We're going to be doing events like this all over the world, and I will be hosting. The central event will be here in Los Angeles, and we'll be throwing it to similar events all over the globe at the same time.
Kind of like New Year's Eve, where they check in with all of them?
Yeah. Huh. And there's also some very special surprises that we can't even talk about. So if you'd like to go, if you're a Spider-Man fan, I've got a trivia question for you. If you answer it, your first caller to get through at 1-800-520-1067, you will get to be on this very special guest list. Here's your trivia question. In the comic books, Gwen Stacy, Spider-Man's girlfriend, the first girlfriend, played by the lovely Emma Stone in this particular film.
Yes.
She loses her life in the comics at the hand of one of Spider-Man's arch nemesis. Name that villain for me. 1-800-520-1067. And you're going to see the very special Spider-Man sneak peek. Let's take a look at the movies at the box office since it is Monday. The Grey did very well for itself. $20 million at the box office. Underworld Awakening was number two. One for the Money. Catherine Heigl as a bounty hunter. Oh, how did this fail? $11.8 million.
Is that a failure?
It didn't do great.
Yeah.
According to Lisa, the reviews have not been kind.
No.
Mad reviews.
Catherine
Heigl. It's going to disappear pretty fast.
And it can't be as good as Two for the Money was, right, Ralph?
No. I mean, it's half as good, in my opinion. One is half of two, right?
That's true.
Yeah, I can do math.
That's math.
Red Tails was fourth. Man on a Ledge was sixth. I was surprised this didn't open better. That was an interesting premise to me.
Man on a Ledge?
Yeah.
Didn't put much work into the title, though.
Well, look, you know what you're in for when you walk into the theater.
Let's see. There's a guy, and he's on the ledge. Let's call it Man on a Ledge.
Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, The Descendants, Contraband, Beauty and the Beast, and Haywire rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Oh, poor Kim Kardashian. I don't know if you caught keeping up with the Kardashians this week or not.
Oh,
but,
God, I hate that show
so
much.
Poor Kim. You got to feel for her because she realizes that her marriage is over at this point on the show. You know, they document everything. So we get to see the moment she realizes that her marriage is over.
In real life, the marriage ended long before the season even began?
Yeah. Right.
This season? Okay.
Yeah. But they have to doctor it up so you can witness it happening in front of your very eyes.
You see it fall apart.
Here's Kim talking to her sister Courtney, talking about how much of a failure she feels like because of the fact that her marriage to Chris Humphries is not working out.
You think I feel good that I, like,
met this guy from Minnesota, and I feel awful that, like, I made him move out here and, like, change his whole life, and I feel bad for him. I feel sad. I feel bad for the guy. I changed his whole life, and he fell in love with me, and I fell in love with him, and now my feelings have changed. You don't think I feel bad that I invited all these people to this huge wedding and flew everyone out?
Holy crap.
I wasted everyone's time. You know, I wasted everyone's money. Yeah. I wasted everyone's everything, and I feel bad. You don't think I feel bad?
No,
at 30
we don't.
Years old, I thought I'd be married with kids, and I'm not. And I failed at this, and you think that I don't feel bad?
I want it all, Daddy. Oh, give it to me now. I want the party. Hey, Veruca, you're a bad egg. What a spoiled little bitch. Don't you think I'm being bad? I wasted everybody.
Wow.
You get nothing. Good day, sir.
Wow.
Ugh. Yeah, she seems a little uptight.
Yeah, she sure does.
Today's Chris Humphreys. He dodged a bullet, didn't he?
Boy, did he ever. Today's celebrity birthdays, Wilmer Valderrama. Of course, played the popular candy dispenser Pez on That 70s Show. He is 32 years old today.
Fez.
Christian Bale.
He's Batman.
I'm Batman.
He's 38 years old.
When does that come out? I can't wait for that. They've been showing trailers for that for like 3 years.
I think July 4th July weekend, 4th? Right? Big right. blockbuster weekend. Charles S. Dutton is 61 years old today. Good actor. Musician Phil Collins is also 61. Vanessa Redgrave. Boy, a lot of good actors on the birthday list today. 75 years old. And Gene Hackman, one of my favorites. 82 years old today. Of course, played Lex Luthor in the Superman movies and has done many, many other excellent films. You ever see French Connection?
You don't think I feel bad?
I'm sorry, Ken. We're good
not
with you.
Talking
we're,
about you
we're
anymore.
We're talking about Gene Hackman now. We have a winner to my trivia question.
We do.
Carlos?
Here.
Carlos, what Spider-Man villain was responsible for the death of Gwen Stacy in the comics?
Technically, the Fall Kilter.
Yes.
The Green Goblin.
That's right. It was the Green Goblin. I blame him. I don't think the Fall would have happened without the Green Goblin. I hold him responsible.
There is that, yes.
You, sir, are a geek.
How dare you, Kevin? These are my people.
I'm also a Batman fan.
God bless you, Carlos. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, and you're going to go see a very special sneak peek at some footage from The Amazing Spider-Man.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Roland.
Stop it, Kevin. Be nice. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Shoo, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Question, but seriously, why are the Black Keys so good? I mean, really.
Your question is, why are the Black Keys so good?
Yes.
I don't know, except for that they are.
They certainly are. Right. Linkin Park on the way, also Red Hot Chili Peppers and The Naked and the Famous, their awesome song, Young Blood, this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin, many times back when K-Rock used to be over in Burbank, we ate at this McDonald's that's in the news right now, that one down on Olive Avenue. In fact, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that's the McDonald's we were at where Lightning fell asleep at lunch one day and we drove away and left him there.
He had to walk
back to the radio station.
He was asleep. We were like, everybody sneak out, get in the car.
That's the best.
Because he fell asleep at lunch. Well, this McDonald's in Burbank is in the news because there was a woman named Khadija Basir, who I'm sure is lovely, and she was going through the drive-thru line, opening customers' car doors, and saying, hey, if you'll pick me up some chicken McNuggets, I'll exchange that for some sexual favors. And it doesn't say whether she had any takers or not.
The last line of the article says, a man told police Basir approached him, but he refused the offer.
Wow.
Really?
She must have been hideous, because a McNugget.
What does that cost?
Yeah, right.
It's a couple of bucks.
It's got to be no more than $2 for McNuggets, right?
Right.
And she was offering sexy time for McNuggets.
But she didn't have a car. She would walk up to people who were already in the drive-thru line, and she would just kind of knock on the door and open it and go, hey, sex for a McNugget?
Yeah.
Which is not what you expect.
We saw the story. We started thinking, you know, sex is a currency that's been around even longer than actual currency. I mean, before there were gold coins, before there were dollar bills, let's face it, there was sex for something, right? And I bet our listeners have stories, and I don't know that we've ever done this phone topic before, but I think it would be fascinating. Even if you didn't follow through with it, it would be fascinating to hear what the offer was. Like, I will have sex with you if you fill in the blank.
Right.
I'm sure there's officers of the law who have been offered, who've gotten
great
that offer
point.
To people. But, yeah, just normal people as well, you know? Maybe they just don't have money for something, or they offer you sex for, it seems to me like the line is well above a McNugget, though.
I would hope so.
Like, I'd do a quarter pounder. Yeah. I'd buy that person
and
a quarter pounder.
And fries.
And fries,
I would think, yeah. Usually it's sex for drugs, right? That's
right.
The typical.
I would think so.
Typical thing.
So give us a call, 1-800-520-1067, if you or your friends or somebody that you know has been offered sex in return for something. We're guessing it's going to be bigger than the McNugget. Probably nothing smaller.
You know, you do make a good point about the McNuggets. Like, why go for something so small? Why not just ask for $20? That way you can buy your own McNuggets and still have $18 left over. Why just do a straight-up trade for the McNuggets? You're right. That's, she's not a very good businesswoman. That's all there is to it.
Well, what I'm guessing is ugly.
Okay. Yeah, probably.
So possible. Ugly. Possible, yeah.
Here's a, super ugly. The dude said no, and it was a McNugget.
Here's an email to get us going, and this is from a listener who, this was a an offer for sex with her own partner, which I hadn't even thought about.
Oh.
Good morning, party people. I won't be able to call in, but I heard you mention the day that the topic was going to be things you traded sex for. Well, this past weekend, my girlfriend noticed that I had not put my car tags on. I told her I didn't want to because there's a spider living under my license plate frame. Yes, I'm a lesbian. Give me a break. Spiders are gross. So I offered her sex to put them on for me. She was outside like a bolt of lightning. Joke's on me, though, because afterwards she told me that what I thought were spider legs moving around was just dead grass stuck under the plate frame.
Oh, my God.
But this does pretty much sound like a win-win for this happy couple, though. He got, you know, she got her license plate frames on, and she had some sex, and, you know, vice versa. So
I guess so, but just putting the sticker on is, that's the McNugget of car maintenance.
It truly is.
It really is about as small as you can do. Well, those people just wanted to have sex.
But it is like a three-second job to put your tags on.
But I would like to suggest, and I think we'll get enough calls if we do it this way, a stranger.
Yes? Okay.
I think a stranger is much more impressive because they don't know you, and yet they're offering you sex for a McNugget, or right. They're offering you sex for whatever it happens to be. Maybe you work at a hotel and they want a room, or who knows?
That's a good point.
Who knows what kind of fix their car?
Right,
run.
Okay.
Rent is the one that I was thinking that, you know, if you're out of money, you can't afford the rent. That's what you're offering. You know, it's unfortunate because I've tried to offer sex for almost everything I bought for the last 5 years. No. And I can't get a taker. I'll go into Best Buy and I'll say, hey, how about sex for this iPod? And they go, nope.
I'm guessing this is mostly a woman thing.
Yes. I'm guessing you're right.
As women can offer that and men will take it for any reason.
Right.
But, all right. But in this particular case with the McNuggets.
She ugly. She ugly. U-G-L-Y. She ain't got no alibi. She ugly.
1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number here at the world-famous K-Rock. 1-800-520-1067. What have you been offered sex in exchange for? Who can we go to? I'm having trouble seeing these lines.
We could go to Mark, as a matter of fact. Let's start with him. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin Bean, Lisa May. How are you?
Good.
Very good. Thank you.
Yes, I was in law school, first year, failing miserably on a class, which you need to go on, and the tutor decided that I guess I was the chosen one, and if I would have sex with her, she would pass me. And
no kidding!
Yes.
And you did, and she did?
Yes, and she condemned me to a miserable life of being an attorney, but what can you say?
You got what you wanted.
Got what I wanted.
Was she hot?
No, heck no.
Oh, really? Now that's interesting. So was there was it a difficult decision for you to make to decide to go ahead and do it?
It took all of about the time I figured that I had no chance of passing without that, and that was it.
Wow.
So, isn't that interesting? So you were practically blackmailed for sex.
Well, I would just say that I don't think that was the first one that she'd done that to, but since when you have no option, that is the best option you can choose.
Let me get this straight, if you don't mind. This was your first year of law school?
First semester, actually.
First semester. Now, if I'm not mistaken, isn't that the easiest stuff?
Yeah.
No, actually, when you go to law school, they say, look to the person to the right, look to the person on the left. At the end of this year, they won't be there. So they try to get you out the first year to kind of...
Is it like the Marines? They make you drop and give you 20?
Yeah.
Trying to break your will?
I did give her 20, and I'd rather have been in the Marines.
All right. Well done. Thank you very much for the call. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Do you have time to go to line 3 real quick?
Sure.
And then we'll take a break and come back with your phone calls. You were asked to trade something for sex. They would give you sex. You would give them what? That's the question on the table.
All right. Who's this?
Mike.
Hi, Mike. Who offered you sex and for what?
Well, I was running a police impound tow yard. And a woman had her car impounded for drunk driving. She came in with her sister to try to retrieve her car. And as we walked to her car to get her personal items and her ID, she offered to trade sex
for the release of her car. And when I said no, she offered her sister up, and her sister.
Was her sister hotter?
Excuse me?
Was her sister hotter?
They were both attractive in their early 20s, and they neither one of them were wearing panties, and they kept flashing that and kept saying, listen, this could be yours. All you had to do is let us have the car, and no, I couldn't do it.
You couldn't do it? Were they offering you a threesome or just one or the other?
Both, but I was working for a police impound yard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that would be.
What?
Well, he's looking at the big picture here, Kevin.
Big
That would have been nothing. That would have been a
hot sister.
Right, but it would have been a fun 15 minutes. Is it worth losing your job over?
He could lie. Come on. Get with the program.
All the cameras and all the people, and then trying to figure out the paper trail, that would have been worth it.
Gotcha. So did they cough up the $350 and got their car back, and that was it? You've regretted it ever since, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. All right. Loser. Thanks for the call, dude. Appreciate it.
1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls when we get.
This is the Kevin Amin Show here on a Monday. Coming up next, you're going to be introduced to a woman who, gosh, I got to look and see if she went through it or not, but she was scheduled yesterday to marry a building. So they're very deeply in love, Kevin.
I love people like this so much.
Doesn't that give you a lot of questions about the wedding night? I don't know how that works. I guess she just gets inside the building, I guess is what happens. But anyway, you'll meet her coming up here. Right now, we're talking about the woman in Burbank.
She goes inside the building, and she comes out, and then she goes inside.
Maybe so. Woman arrested in Burbank last week. She was soliciting customers in the McDonald's drive-thru there on Olive Avenue. She was offering sex in exchange for McNuggets. We were talking about how, that's the currency of the world right there. Sure. What have you been offered sex for instead? We want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Robert. Robert is on line 8. Classic example of what we're talking about. Robert, thank you for hanging on. Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show. What happened, dude?
Hey, good morning, Guy. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Where were you when it happened?
I work for the body shop business, and we do test drives for the vehicles. Customer had a $1,000 deductible, and on the test drive, she offered me sexual favors. $1,000 deductible, and she was like, I'll take care of you if you just pull over.
Yes.
And?
She paid her deductible.
Nice.
Really?
Was she hideous? What's happening?
You mean everybody is turning it down? Is that what your problem is, Kevin?
I'm a pretty good-looking guy, so.
You're a good-looking guy, so you don't need that kind of attention necessarily.
I don't need that attention, but I told her she had to pay.
Oh,
well, wow. Listen, $1,000.
She better be pretty good.
She better be paying for a month.
That's like, better be freaking awesome.
That's like every Friday at noon for 2 months.
Exactly. Was it awkward when she brought it up? Like, I mean, were you shocked at the time, or did it?
Caught me by surprise, man. I thought I was going to hit the tree or something.
and then, how did you turn her down? What did you say when you said no?
I told her, hey, you know what? It's against the law. She needs to take care of it.
Against the law? What a square, man. You're Squaresville.
Thank you for the call, Robert. By the way, if we've learned anything, is that Kevin would trade anything you want for sex. He's not going to ever
Come
turn
on
it down.
Now. These people,
like,
people are
making it sound
but
like.
But I'm saying.
All right. Where do you want to go
next?
Let's go to Chris. Chris on line 4.
Hi, Chris. Hello.
Chris.
There we go.
Okay.
Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi. Chris, tell me what you were offered sex for.
Okay, so I was in my calculus class. I'm in college, and this really cute girl comes up to me, and she goes, hey, listen, if you help me get an A in this class, I'll sleep with you at the end. I just got to cheat off you on all the tests.
All the tests? Not just one, but all of them?
All of them for the whole class. She gets an A. We hook up at the end.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
That's a huge setup, dude.
I don't buy it. She's running.
Because what happens at the end of the class when she gets her A? Okay,
whoa, there's more.
There's more. Well, she kind of started encouraging me throughout the class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sucking on my ear, things like this.
Really? Suck it on your ear
in class?
I'm a back row student, so, I mean, it wasn't. So we're sitting in the back, and she would do things like this, get pretty aggressive. So I'm like, okay, she's going to follow through. So I let her cheat off me the entire class. She gets her A.
You got to get a down payment, dude. But go ahead.
She followed through, though.
What?
Really? Yeah.
Really? Nice.
Yeah, she
she followed through. I mean, I'm not a bad-looking guy, so it probably wasn't that bad of a deal for her. At least that's what I'm thinking.
Sure. But, that's what all guys think.
Anyways, here's the really messed up part, which I found out afterwards. Her boyfriend sat in a row in front of us.
Oh, dude.
So he knew this was going on because she was...
He didn't have a clue.
Why didn't she just cheat off of him?
He wasn't smart.
He failed.
He's a failure.
Oh, man.
Smart guy gets the chicks.
Crazy.
All right.
So
crazy.
Weird.
Good.
All
thank
right.
you for the call.
We got to talk to Dave. We only have time for one more, but let's let it be Dave. I mean, this is in the category of Chicken McNuggets, where we're talking about how low an item you traded
that's
sex for.
Where,
Dave.
That's where we started the story, was a woman that would walk up to cars in a drive-thru and ask him for to get him some Chicken McNuggets, and she offered sex. All right, Dave, you have something that rivals that?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. Okay. Basically, I work in Hollywood, and there's a lot of transvestites that kind of hang out outside of Subway Sandwich. So I went in there for lunch, and on my way out, one of them offered to give me oral pleasure for a foot-long Subway sandwich.
Are you sure? Now, wait a minute. Are you sure there was a sandwich involved, or was he just talking about a foot-long?
The word sandwich was used.
It was so used.
Yes.
Okay. How was it?
Oh, come on, Kevin. Just think of the sketchy people that are waiting outside of the Subway. We are going to be on our very best behavior in about 20 minutes or so when Josh Michello joins us in studio. He is very, very wealthy, Kevin, and he's trying to buy the Los Angeles Dodgers.
As you know, I'm not a baseball fan, but how good of an announcer would I be?
Based on that last sentence, not that good.
Come on.
Well, worst ever, if that's what you're
Come
looking
on.
For. Anyway, very excited about that. I do hope they take him seriously because he's obviously a passionate fan of the game and has some really good ideas on how to improve the Dodgers. And let's face it, Los Angeles baseball fans deserve that. All right, let's turn our attention to Seattle, Washington. I apologize. I did not do the follow through to find out if this wedding did, in fact, take place on yesterday. Yesterday at 1 p.m. is when this woman, Babylonia Ives, was scheduled to get married. She was scheduled to marry a building in downtown Seattle.
Aww.
Yes, my peeps.
Now, this is a little different than your peeps, Kevin, because I know that you love the people who fall in love with... didn't you have a woman on a show once from the BBC who was in love with the Berlin Wall, if I recall correctly?
I attend South Park Elementary. And
wrong one, sorry.
For George's lover... was the family car.
The family car.
That's right. People who fall in love with inanimate objects. It doesn't seem that she's quite that crazy.
I feel very, very blessed to have a piece of my sweet Golden Gate Bridge.
This woman doesn't say she's in love with the building, but
a year ago at a private ceremony, she married the Eiffel Tower.
There's
she's
so many
trying
of them.
To marry a building to prevent it from to show how much it is valued in the community to prevent it from being torn down. That's what she's trying to do. So
oh,
here she
so
is.
She's not in love with it. Where'd the love
right.
go? Where's the love?
I don't know. She's standing out in front of this building that, by the way, is 107 years old and is already falling apart. Please don't picture this as some beautiful historic building that the man is coming in to knock down so they can build condos. Okay, this is a building that's going to fall down on its own any minute now if they don't replace it. It's a hazard. But she's standing out in front of it in her wedding dress on Friday giving this interview to Channel 4 in Seattle.
I'm getting married on Sunday. It's going to be a gay wedding. It's at 1 p.m. and...
I don't know why it's a
why
gay
is it
wedding.
Gay?
I don't know why her marrying a building is a gay wedding.
Is there a male and a female building?
I don't know what she's saying. Why is it a gay wedding?
I think what she means is in gay weddings, depending on what state you get married in, there are no legal
right
things that follow. So
oh, it's meaning
not like,
that she can define the building as whatever she wants.
Right.
Oh,
well, the marriage is defined however they want to define it.
I see.
The state.
The plan is to... show the community why I love this building, because it's 107 years old. It's 107 years old. It was
Got
where
it.
One of the... This is the Auto Row District, where the first car was sold in Seattle in 1905. And...
By the way, I already hate her just listening to her. She's one of these just like total airheads who has no idea what she's talking about.
And zero life, by the way. I mean, really, if this is your cause.
And maybe, I don't know, maybe she's got a good point in there somewhere, but I don't know that I have the patience to wait with her to find it.
I'm just trying to show the community how much I love it and how much we need community space, because I was arrested a few months ago in this warehouse trying to reclaim it as a community center.
Okay, now she was a member apparently of Occupy Seattle, and that's what they were doing. So she was one of 16 people who put their hands, you know, together, locked their arms together to try to prevent the bulldozers from getting in to tear this down. I love these people who were trying to reclaim this building. It wasn't theirs to begin with. You understand that somebody else owns that property and has the right to do what they want with it, right?
Not if she marries it, Bean.
Well, if she marries it, I guess that they're tearing down her gay husband, right?
We need more togetherness. We need more collaboration. And I'm doing this to show the building how much I love it, how much I love community space, and how much I love this neighborhood, and I want to stop it from gentrification.
You think it's...
Well, I don't understand how building something that's 6 stories high that blocks the sky view will beautify anything. I also don't understand how building luxury apartments that are kind of really, that have no character or charm and that are really...
By the way, it sounds to me like the wrecking ball is coming up behind her. Doesn't you hear all the traffic and everything?
In a perfect world, it would. I mean, she'd be talking and just get taken out by that thing.
It does sound like she's about to go down with the building, and I don't mean that in a good way.
Similar looking to other types of architecture, how that beautifies our city. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand how making things really unaffordable helps our city either. That's a form of violence.
Okay, so
what?
Apparently, if
it's
you
a form of violence.
If you put a new building up and she can't afford to live there, that's a form of violence, Kevin. That's what's happening.
What?
And by the way, I shouldn't mention that she's also fat because that's not at all relevant.
Not
but
at
just,
all.
No, but it's also not at all surprising.
It's not at all surprising. She's standing there in her giant wedding dress out in front of this building just waiting for it to get knocked down. And she's practically chaining herself to it.
In a perfect world, that building would just get taken down behind her as she talks.
And that would fall on her.
That would be the best. And fall on her and crush her.
And I don't understand how it's beautiful to destroy buildings that increases our carbon footprint by, like, so much. Like, reusing old buildings is way better for our environment.
Okay, you can't reuse this building. This building is almost to the ground already.
It's way better for the environment, Bean.
There's the list of things she doesn't understand that we don't have time for.
What do you hope happens this weekend?
I hope that Capitol Hill gets together and becomes a really... A neighborhood that has solidarity, a neighborhood that loves itself and wants to preserve its really unique cultural charm with the local businesses, the local music, the local food. I hope that we realize that togetherness and solidarity for our neighborhood is really the way to go.
I hope that she gets run over by a bulldozer.
I do, too.
That's what I hope.
And I like that the guy interviewing her had the microphone across the street. I think that was a nice touch as well. Well, I hope she got married, and I hope they had a great honeymoon.
And that they're very happy together.
And they're very happy together as they get torn down by a wrecking.
Ralph Garman joins us in studio now for yet another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, as Shakespeare once said, Spider-Man, Spider-Man does whatever a spider can.
Does Shakespeare say that?
Yes.
Surprising.
Spins a web any size, catches thieves, said Shakespeare, just like flies. Look out, said Shakespeare. Here comes the Spider-Man.
That's the theme song. That's not Shakespeare.
I am dying to see the Amazing Spider-Man.
This is an emo Spider-Man.
No, that emo Spider-Man was...
Just a
that
it was
that,
a bad misstep.
Yeah, that was to the Spider-Man franchise. I think what Clooney was to the Batman franchise. It was a severe blow, and then they bounced back better than ever, just like Spider-Man's doing with the Amazing Spider-Man coming out later this year. If you're a fan like I am and you can't wait to see more of this movie, I will be hosting an event on Tuesday, February 6th at the AMC Century City, where we'll be showing you never before seen footage. There's going to be a lot of other surprises there as well, and it's going to be a worldwide event, meaning I will be hosting from Los Angeles, but we will have the same event happening all over the world at the same time.
So there'll be a Ralph clone in every city standing in front of their theater.
I wish. Oh, I would so bang myself if I was cloned.
You would, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, in a heartbeat.
You'd take yourself down.
Oh, yeah. But no,
be disappointed afterwards.
Yeah, and feel shame, so much shame. But there will be all other hosts all over the world, and we'll be all connected via satellite and stuff. It's going to be a pretty big deal. And the special surprises that they won't let me talk about, which is killing me, are pretty special.
We'll talk about it.
So if you're a Spider-Man fan, I told you.
Cast is
Spider-Man fan, if you're a Spider-Man fan, Here's your trivia question. If you get it right, first caller through with the correct answer, 1-800-520-1067, gets a pair of passes to this very special event. What is Dr. Octopus? Of course, Spider-Man villain Dr. Octopus.
Sure.
Remember him?
Yeah.
What is his real name? Dr. Octopus's real name. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Last night was the Screen Actors Guild Awards. Very entertaining program. It's one of those award shows, really, that we don't cover so much. I think it's because there aren't a lot of horrible clips to bring in.
True.
Not a lot of lowlights.
Not a lot of lowlights. Not a lot of things to make fun of. It's just it's a really fast-moving, entertaining show.
And it's only 2 hours, which is so refreshing.
Yeah, they really just knock it out, and then you're done. I think last night, Brad Pitt gave out the award to Best Cast in a Motion Picture, which went to The Help.
Right.
And at the end, he was like, okay, that's our show. Good night, everybody. I was like, oh, it's so cool. It's like Brad Pitt almost hosted there for a minute. He was like doing hosty stuff at the end. It was very fun. Mary Tyler Moore won a Lifetime Achievement Award from Dick Van Dyke, and they both need to sit down.
They're both alive?
Yeah, but just barely. Just barely. Yeah. Just
hey,
barely.
I thought Dick's speech was
great. No, Dick
great,
was great.
By the way.
He really was. Mary.
Mary said that a lot. She's hurting.
Mary struggled. But it was nice to see her.
It was sad, Kevin, because Mary Tyler Moore finished, and she's got a lot of health problems, and she was having kind of trouble speaking out loud. And at the end of her...
that podium, too, for dear life.
So she wouldn't fall?
My wife's like, she's shaking. She's going to go down. She's shaking. I said, they won't let her go down.
What does she have? She has a serious diabetes.
Diabetes her whole life. Yeah, she had juvenile diabetes. And
and they wouldn't even let her walk to the... I mean, while they were playing the clip package, they put her on stage, so we'd have to wait to watch her walk up. But at the end, when she finished, the way she read it, nobody knew it was over. I mean, the band didn't come in. Everybody was just kind of standing there because they thought there was more, but she was done. And then thank God Dick Van Dyke came over and, you know, kind of let her off the stage a little bit. She might still be standing there waiting for what's next.
How did he do it?
Dick
treats?
Saved her. Dick saved her.
With treats?
Come he went on, over come and on. Gave her a kiss on the cheek and said, I'll carry this for you. It's heavier than it looks. And that was kind of a funny moment. And everybody
very sweet.
And
don't waste our time with the elderly.
Oh, come on. She's Mary Tyler Moore. She's a legend.
And who was hotter than Mary Tyler Moore when she was in her 20s, Ralph?
Yeah, she was pretty smoking
really?
Hot.
What?
Oh,
didn't
my
you ever
God,
watch
so
the old
hot.
Dick Van Dyke show?
No.
Her in those little capri pants? Come on. Good stuff.
So
right
hot.
There. Kevin would have hated it. Betty White won the award for best comic actress in a series, too.
Hey, she's old. She's funny. How about
she
that?
She was pretty sharp up there, I'll tell you. Other winners, male actor in a leading role in a movie, Jean Dujardin for The Artist. Get used to hearing that name and the name of that movie.
Oh, The Artist.
Female actor in a leading
role. Desmond Anu hasn't seen it.
How can you hate something that you don't even know about?
Oh, please.
Female actor in leading role, Viola Davis, won for The Help. Male supporting actor in a movie was Christopher Plummer for Beginners. Octavia Spencer got it for female supporting actress, The Help. Cast in a motion picture, as I mentioned, was The Help. Cast in a comedy on TV was Modern Family. And for a drama, Boardwalk Empire. So a lot
those
of
all sound pretty good.
Well-deserved awards.
Except for The Artist.
Absolutely. How
and
dare you?
And let me ask you this, Ralph, because a lot of people say the SAGs are another indicator of Oscars because the largest voting body for the Academy Awards is also actors.
Right.
Is there any possibility that The Help will win Best Picture at the Oscars?
No.
Okay.
Oh. You know what's going to win it? The Artist?
The Artist is going to win, yeah.
Because it's got a hook. It's got a little... It's nifty. Hey, they
or
didn't
it's
sound.
A great movie.
It's nifty.
They didn't use sound.
I don't think... first of all, they haven't used the word nifty since the original silent films were in theaters. And I don't think that's what the Oscars base their votes on, is niftiness.
How long does this have to go on?
Kevin?
How long does this have to go on before Beer Bug gets up the Why Does Kevin Hate jingle?
Come on now.
We'll work our way up to it. We've got a lot of time before the Oscars roll around. While we're talking about movies, top 10 movies at the box office real quick. The Grey did very well for itself with Liam Neeson and his enormous talent.
Talent, right.
He is $20 million richer. Well, he isn't, but the movie was. That's what it made this weekend. Underworld Awakening, $12.5 million. This is underperforming, this film.
It is?
It cost $75 million to make, so they got a little ways to go
I'll
before they make
again.
Their money back. You should go. Go back. Go again.
I'll go again.
One for the Money, the new Catherine Heigl movie. $11.8 million made it number three. Red Tails, Man on a Ledge, extremely loud and incredibly close. The Descendants, Contraband, Beauty and the Beast in 3D, and Haywire rounding out your top 10 at the box office. Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do, as a matter of fact.
Chris on line one, I believe, has it. Chris?
Hello?
Hey, Chris, what is Doc Ock's real name?
It's Otto Octavius.
Otto Octavius is correct. Dr. Otto Octavius.
Woo!
So, Parker... Oh, I should have played him instead of Alfred Molina. Congratulations. You're going to see some special footage from The Amazing Spider-Man that no one's going to see except for you and me and then a bunch of people around the world. But it's going to happen on February 6th. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details.
Wait, it's exclusive enough that you and he and a bunch of people around the world are going to see it?
But only those of us in the theaters. You won't see it, Kevin. Ha! You won't see it.
Yeah, I think I'll live.
You won't. You'll die.
I'll be all right.
You'll die.
I'll be all right.
You'll probably die. You've got malaria like this one over here.
I don't. That's Lisa.
It's going around. It's contagion in this room. Mm-hmm. She's got malaria. You've got red lung or whatever they call it, what you got.
Black lung.
Bad stuff.
Smoking.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Wilder Valderrama is 32 years old today. Christian Bale turns 38. Charles S. Dutton, excellent actor. He was in a series called Rock and a bunch of other stuff. 61.
Bet.
Phil Collins is 61 years old today. Bet. Phil Collins retired from music, by the way. See, there is a silver lining to every cloud. Vanessa Redgrave, 75 years old today. And Gene Hackman celebrates his 82nd birthday.
What am I hearing? I think that's our phoner. Phone call.
Our guy on hold the whole time.
He's listening to us the whole time, waiting for someone to pick up.
Yeah, he was on the
No
air.
Wonder he sighed. He's like, how long do I have to listen to these jackholes before I get my tickets?
Sorry, dude.
Yeah, put him on hold, why don't you? Okay, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us later this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, plus Andrew Siciliano on the ground in Indianapolis with a preview of Super Bowl 46. That's coming up. Speaking of sports, ladies and gentlemen, the next owner of your Los Angeles Dodgers, Josh Macchiello, joins us here in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I like the sound of that.
Josh for Dodgers.com is the website, on Twitter at Josh Macchiello. Josh, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, man. How are you?
Thanks for having me, guys. Big fans of you guys, first and foremost, and this is exciting.
So you're seriously bidding for the Dodgers. You're one of the people who wants to seriously own.
I seriously want to own the Dodgers.
And
that's
can.
Right. I can.
You're how old?
I'm 36.
How do you have so much money?
I've made some pretty successful real estate and other kind of moves that put me in position. But I have
drugs?
Some pretty... No. No. You know, you say stuff like that, Bud Selig will flip over and I'll be office right now. No,
come on,
no.
Kevin. Don't stand in his way.
You know, and through that, I have some very good partners that sort of believe in a guy like myself, and you know, they're wanting me to inspire other guys my age to take leaps like this, and you know, that's what I'm looking to do. I'm looking to inspire guys my age to say, hey, we can go up against big business and make a run at doing
it.
Things
doesn't
like
happen
this.
Very often, though.
No, well, you know, I mean, it would be the first time somebody my age owns a Major League Baseball club, you know, so it's pretty exciting.
How does it work with buying a baseball team? Do you have to get the other owners to agree, or how does all that,
you know, it's different in different situations?
Yeah.
I mean, this is more along the lines of you know, somebody being told they have to leave, so
right,
you know, Major League Baseball is
which is the right decision,
which in this case, you know, seems to be the right decision. You know, I haven't said anything, you know, good, you know, or bad about Frank. I don't know him at all. I usually judge people from how I meet them. So
no, but I think it's a given that he and his ex have run the team into the ground. Well, they're an embarrassment.
Well, let's just say
for
that
sports
the,
owners,
the organization, which a historical franchise is not looking so well
right now.
Yeah.
So you know, I think that you know, a person like myself could go in there. I believe in the team. I think this team is outstanding. I really do. I think that they have potential to win a championship this year, as I said over and over, and many to come. You know, it's just for me, I think family kind of people need to run organizations like this, and I think that the fans will support a more family guy than a hedge fund and, you know, or a bunch of Wall Street kind of guys trying to run the organization.
You do not look at all like an owner, and I say that as a that's a compliment.
Well, yes. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Josh, how much will the Dodgers sell for? Like, what's the winning bid going to be?
I cannot see. There's certain things I could talk about, you know, about my passion and what. But
I've read $1 billion.
You know, there's a lot of numbers like that floating around.
I've read that.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of numbers like that. But what I will say is that myself and my team are willing to beat any bid out there. And as long
is that
as
right?
That is right. And as long as we get a chance to always rebid, you know, I'm going to guarantee that we're going to have a good shot to own this team.
Wow. So Major League Baseball will go with the highest bidder who they think is a fit owner, basically.
Well,
what
Major
is,
League
right?
Baseball, you know, is just going to do their part to make sure that these guys like myself and other guys are valid to own a team. And I think it's going to come down to, you know, who puts up the most money.
Have they done some kind of, do they do background checks?
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Check everything in your past?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, they're pretty much right up in you.
Josh, I'm fascinated. We have a lot of questions for you about what you would do with the Dodgers.
I
mean,
don't want them up in me.
I know. I'm trying to move past that.
That's a deal breaker for me owning a team.
But I am fascinated with how a guy gets to have enough money to even be in this conversation at 36. I mean, you don't have to get too specific, but I mean, I heard you were in mining. I heard you were in movies. It seems like you've been all over the place. Like, where did you make your fortune?
Well, I started off making my money developing movie projects. And, you know, that's where I started getting into that seven, you know, figure area. But over the last year or so, I've made some successful moves in mining, mineral mining. And, I mean, with gold and
you
minerals.
You know, movie projects, though, that's usually where people go broke.
Yeah, not me. You know, we don't do it the way that, hey, give us, you know, this much money. And, not, you know, we pretty much develop them, pack them, and then sell them off to studios and whatnot. For the mineral mining, though, I mean, gold and platinum, everything's through the roof right now.
But how do you know mineral mining enough as a guy who's producing movies?
Just
to
because
go
I got tattoos and a goatee, don't I don't know about that kind of stuff.
No, I'm saying, but if you know movies and entertainment, I don't know anything about mineral mining. I wouldn't know the first thing.
It started off as a real estate investment that we happened to really capitalize on. And, you know, there's luck factor in it too, guys. I don't sit here and think that, oh, you know, I came and I made the smartest decision. I'm Donald Trump or somebody. I happen to get lucky making some good real estate moves, and it put me in position right now to be sitting with you guys and talking about
this. What other crazy things have you bought since you've had this much money? I mean, do you have a jet?
You know, no. People don't realize, you know, you don't do that kind of stuff because I wouldn't use the jet enough to do that. But, you know, you lease that kind of stuff. You know, you go with some other guys that have money and you say, hey, let's put together a deal where you guys use it a certain amount of times and we use it a certain amount of times.
Right.
I'm a homebody. Like, I have a wife, my wife, Anna. How you doing, sweetheart? And my three kids, Nicole, Anthony, and Joseph. I stay home. My mother lives with us. And, you know, my mom is, you know, one of the biggest inspirations in my life.
All right, let me ask you a question. Are you going to, if you own the Dodgers, put either your wife or your mother as the president of the organization?
No. Okay. They have both been forewarned that they have no involvement at all.
And that seems to have been a big misstep.
My mother is the biggest baseball fan in the world, and they would have no involvement at all.
All right.
And my wife, let me tell you, my wife's an Armenian descent. Say hello to all my Armenians out there. Shnoha kalatsun chat.
Whatever you said.
You know, for me, look, it's about the fans. I am completely 100%. I'm a baseball fan, but I want to own this team because I really want to bring the fans back to Dodger Stadium. And I also think it would uplift a lot of fans that are looking out there, seeing big business give us a beating over the last few years and put us in this state of where the economy is really hurt right now.
They give us a beating and we also have no option and we just feel like bend over and take it.
Right.
A guy like you takes over, it would be inspiring.
I really hope. I hope that other guys my age start to say, hey, you know, look what this guy's doing. I'm excited. I want to follow that lead.
I've got 42.50. I can get in on this.
Hey, you know what?
Hey, Josh, but how much does he own? How much? Look, every franchise is different. You know, some owners like Jerry Jones, I feel he's too involved with the Dallas Cowboys, for instance. I think he should let his coaches do a little bit more of the coaching
like
and stay out of it.
He's screwing it up.
My question is, how involved can you be as the owner? Because, you know, a lot of organizations prefer the owner just, you know, runs the business, but it's hands-off off in terms of the play on the field.
I've played the game of baseball. You know, am I going to go out there and fight with the umpires? And I'm not one of those guys, but I'm going to trust the guys that I put out there to do the job that they're capable of doing. Having said that, behind the scenes, we will be communicating and talking and seeing what kind of things could make us a better team. So I'll have that much. I mean, I come from a Steinbrenner and I keep getting called a Cuban. I like the Josh Mucciello kind of tone better, but but I know the game of baseball and I'm going to, you know, look, Tommy Lasorda and I, you know, we speak a lot. You know, we go to lunches and dinners together. And
that guy in Italian or in English?
Well, we speak in English, and he curses at me in Italian. I'm just kidding, Tommy.
Do you get a chance to speak when you're having lunch with Tommy Lasorda?
Yes, I do.
You do.
And Tommy would tell you guys, if you ever speak to him, that, you know, he's impressed with how much I know about the game. And I think that
how do you learn it?
You know, I've been since a little boy. My mom dressed me up in a uniform, used to take me to Yankee Stadium. So I'm talking as young as I can remember. So the game has always been inside, you know, my heart.
And you don't have any problem with rooting against the Yankees when they come to town?
I'm
right?
A Dodger fan
play.
Too. No, the Dodgers were always my National League team. I couldn't stand rooting for the Mets. So the Dodgers were always my National League team. So that's why I'm a Brooklyn guy. Dodgers are from Brooklyn. So that's why this fits so well for me to be the next owner.
Okay. All right. We got to take a break. We'll come back. More with our guest. Josh Mucciello is in the studio. JoshForDodgers.com. Is that your site or is that a site that somebody has put up to promote you?
A fan created that. A fan site. Man, I cried the day I saw that. It was so awesome to see them do
okay.
Something like that.
We have a bunch more questions. And if we have time for your phone calls for Josh, you can give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. What is this young man going to do when he owns the Los Angeles Dodgers? We'll talk about that when we return on the Kevin and Bean. Our guest in studio is Mr. Joshua Macchiello. He wants to own the Los Angeles Dodgers, and it's been so hilarious sitting here with you the last few minutes to see Dodgers fans like Beer Mug and Dave, the King of Mexico, just come at you and just rat-a-tat-tat.
They just grill you. What are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about that?
Everywhere you go, Dodger fans must just be getting like, chewing your ear up for all the stuff they want to see happen to this team.
Well, it's been pretty fun because it's just been really good conversation. I mean, you know, we have a lot of Dodger fans supporting us, man. They want a fan that understands what they're going through to own this team.
Who picks the owner? Is it the other owners? Do they all get together and pick? Does Bud Selig pick? Does Frank McCourt, God forbid, pick?
This situation's unique. You know, it comes to a lot of different steps that you have to go through, but all those guys you mentioned have their say-so.
All of the above.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It's not easy to win a World Series, as you know, being a baseball fan. There are teams that do all the right things and still don't make it to the World Series, much less win the World Series. How can you be so confident you could win one in year one?
I look at the talent. I know baseball, and you know this talent all the way up and down the lineup. They're exciting, man. You know it's hard when you got to play with scrutiny on top of your shoulders, and you're in the papers every day for all the wrong reasons. So I don't blame the team for coming up short these last couple of years. It's just been a lot of pressure on them. Now what I do see is the potential once that's lifted off of them of what they're capable of doing. I mean, you got a Cy Young pitcher, and you got, in my opinion, the real MVP of the National League. So in my eyes, I mean, they're a player away, which I have some thoughts how to fix that once I own the team, from winning a championship.
But I mean, you mentioned luck earlier in the interview. Let's face it, the Texas Rangers are doing everything right. They've been to the World Series 2 years in a row and have lost it both times. I mean, it's not as easy as wanting it.
Listen, now this is the baseball side, not the owner side. Had a man on the Rangers been willing to dive into a wall and break his shoulder to catch a ball, they're the champions. You know, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, people ask me, would you sign that man? I'm like, no, if somebody's not willing to go into a wall and hurt themselves to win, that's not my mentality of player. I'll break my arm to go win a championship and
would
recover
that
for next
would
year.
Would breaking your arm help?
Yes, I hope.
Call if you don't mind. Let's talk to Ryan, who has a question. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Sorry, Lisa May.
Hi.
Kevin Bean, how you doing? Hey, Josh. Listen, I'm a huge Dodger fan, and I'm also a family man. People think that the opposing fans coming to Dodger Stadium are the only ones that have the problems with the Dodger fans, quote-unquote. Myself bringing my kids to this stadium, a lot of times we run into the same problems with these knuckleheads and these jerk-offs that, you know, start a lot of problems. What are you going to do to tighten up security, I guess, more or less?
What would you do with that? That is a big issue.
I love that question because that's the first thing I'm addressing in my business proposal. I actually have a plan that's a huge multi-million-dollar, sort of like what the Yankees have in New York, having our own police precinct right there in Chavez Ravine. And for me, if somebody wants to step out of line, you know, my guys, before they could do anything, will see it happen and make sure that doesn't happen. Family atmosphere is what baseball is, guys. And I think baseball got into too much of a business mind rather than being a family game. And my first order of business is to make sure the fans are safe because, listen, Tommy Lasorda said something to me 2 days ago that made the best sense. He goes, you can have the best team, the best ballpark, the best players, best owner, but if you don't have the fans, the game means nothing. So yeah. My mentality is to make them feel good, make them feel safe, and then the rest, you know, will play itself out.
All right,
thank you very much for the call, though, Ryan.
Thank you.
You got a vote.
I hope Ryan is helping choose.
Yeah, I hope you're on the commission.
Hey, Josh, we're almost out of time here, and I hope that we'll have the opportunity to have you back on as this process unfolds. But let me ask you another big picture question, and that is a lot of people have been said that it's time for Chavez Ravine to completely reinvent itself down there. Maybe put a football stadium in, maybe try to build it up like they have around the Nokia and Staples Center and kind of turn it into a destination with a lot of stuff down there rather than just a ballpark out in the middle of the field. I imagine the new owner is going to have a lot to say about that. Is that the type of thing you would consider progress in that area?
Well, the first thing is
you're
I don't want
to bidding for the whole thing, right? You're bidding for the stadium, the land.
That's the rumor.
Correct?
That's the rumor.
Okay.
Okay. First, though, I think I'm not going to knock down a Dodger Stadium and build another one because I was one of those guys that thought the Yankees should have never did that to a Hall of Fame kind of place. What I would like to do is put a lot of money to make it look a lot nicer and change it up again to make it a more family atmosphere. Now, once my focus first is on the Dodgers and that stadium and that team and making that better, then we could start to look around the rest of the areas around and do some of the things you guys are saying. LA Live is awesome to me. Being a guy from New York and loving Times Square as much as I do, when I go to Staples Center now in LA Live, I have so much fun. because that place is so alive and vibrant. I want to give the Chavez Ravine, it's got to be that way. I think that you're talking Los Angeles, California, guys, you know, and to me, this has to have that life, that feeling like, whoa, they're competing with Times Square now. And I think that we have the ability to do it. And if I'm given the chance, I'm going to make sure it happens.
We have a bunch of Angel fans that listen to us.
I'm sorry to hear that.
What do you think about that team?
You know, they're going to be exciting. I mean, would I pay a 31/36-year-old that much money? No, that's not. If you guys want, you know, me to be that owner, no. When people say you wanted Prince Fielder, well, I wasn't going to give him the money he got with the Tigers. I mean, I was.
You wouldn't have signed Albert Pujols if you could?
No, I would not. That's too much. Not for that. See, for me, I would have offered Prince Fielder a 3 deal, maybe worth 18 to 20. See what he's doing. See what he's capable of doing for us. Then give him another 3 or 4 years. But I'm not going to give somebody that much money when we're still trying to build. Look, the Yankees, they won championships with Jeter and all their farm system when they came up. Then when they started paying the Giambis and the A-Rods and all them, it got a little more difficult because that wasn't the right move to make. Just that was an entertainment move rather than a baseball move. And what I'm going to do is try to make intelligent baseball moves so we can win. Look, my goal, give me the team this year. We're going to win 3 to 5 championships in the next 6 years. That's my...
How many times have you watched the movie Moneyball, Josh?
I love that movie, man. Let me tell, especially now with all this going on. I mean, it's been pretty exciting, and it's mirroring a lot of my life right now. So look, I say is Josh Macchiello's got a good chance. Hopefully, if the Cards play out the way they look, they're playing out, I'll be your owner within the next 2 months.
Wait, now you're bidding for the Cards, not the Dodgers?
Wait, hold on. I just want to focus in on something that you just said that we kind of stepped on, and that is the next 2 months. I mean, this is happening.
Yeah, this is a process that we're going to know by April 1st, if you read it.
Is that right?
Wow. Okay.
And if I have any say-so about it, hopefully sooner. So.
Wow.
All right, last question for you. People who are intrigued, they can go to joshfordodgers.com. As you mentioned, that's a fan site. They can get in touch with you on Twitter directly at Josh Macchiello.
And I answer all emails and stuff. I'm one of those guys that my wife, like I'll tell you, will be in bed watching a movie, and I just love people. I'd be the guy at the hot dog stand eating a hot dog, talking to the guys about the game. So.
Fantastic. So you've been hearing from the fans, and you got a lot of support out there. So please keep in touch with us and let us know how it goes, and let us know what else we can do for you.
Listen to me, man. I'm a loyal guy. Once I'm in here, you guys got me. That's
yeah,
it. I'll come
right?
back
what
more
talking
more,
about.
So.
Can I pitch?
next question.
Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network in Indianapolis coming up in a few minutes. Ralph's got the showbiz beat, too. But first, Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey. How are you, man?
How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
That Kim Kardashian meltdown on the show last night was fantastic, Harvey. Please tell me you saw it.
I didn't.
So great.
I'm sorry.
So you don't think I feel bad? I invited all those people to the wedding, and they spent all the money, and then I'm not married, and I'm 30, and I don't have any kids, and I felt
Hold on, hold on. I didn't see it, but can I just finish it?
Yeah.
But I'm not returning the wedding gifts anyway.
Yeah, she didn't say that, but she meant it.
Yeah. And I never feel bad for Kim because she brings all of this on herself, and she's a dumbass. But then I see your site at TMZ.com today, and I go, well, maybe there is a downside to being Kim Kardashian also. What happened at her doors, man?
So over the weekend, this guy shows up with luggage and says he's supposed to move in. And it is weird. I mean, this guy is like full luggage, ready to move in.
Hey, she invited me, first of all.
Well, right. And so the cops come, and this is a weird thing because normally they're very forthcoming, you know, when we call up with something specific. And this one just feels shrouded in secrecy, and I can't quite figure out why. But we're told from people on scene that he was cuffed and taken away, but we can't confirm that. So this is kind of a mystery, and I don't know whether this is a serious one and this is a guy with a history with her, but some dude did show up unwanted with luggage.
Hmm. Does it kind of come with the territory, Harvey? You've been covering the business long enough that I can ask you this. Do all hot chicks on television at some point, if they're anybody, have a stalker show up at their door?
Yes.
Wow.
Okay.
I mean, that's a bummer.
It is really one of the hazards of Hollywood, and I'm not sure. The thing for me is I'm not sure how much worse it is now than it was, say, 20 years ago. But my recollection is that, you know, it was bad 20 years ago. I mean, there were, you know, obsessed people didn't just get invented, you know,
right,
with the Internet.
Right.
I mean, there have been obsessed people for a long, long time. And I think it's just a little more public now, but this stuff happened a lot.
Right. I mean, you're probably right. When this happened to, you know, Heather Locklear on Melrose Place, there wasn't a TMZ to tell us about it. You know,
right.
So we just
That's
didn't
right.
know
and
about
you,
it.
But exactly. yet you know that Heather Locklear had obsessed fans.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
all
back
right.
then.
Speaking of television, I think this has been one of the most hilarious stories with
the
what's
best.
Going. What we won't see on Fear Factor tonight. Tell us about this.
Well, they were planning on running it, and now I don't know. But this is the greatest stunt ever. this is the greatest stunt. It looks like they're not going to run it. So they get, and I'm not talking like a little glass. I'm talking like a mug of donkey urine, and then a second mug of donkey semen. And the contestants were told that if they the person who drank it the most, they would get $50,000. And they did it. And you know when you hear the pisser, so to speak. You know, this is the worst.
What?
There was one team that did it, but they didn't do it fast enough. So they
suckers.
I know.
Oh man!
Wait a minute. You mean I just wait a minute?
And so we did this story. I got to tell you guys, we did this story on the show on Friday, and I mean. Editing this was a nightmare because the people in the room just went wild.
Of course.
And one woman in the room is like, how different really is it? And I was like, do you really want to say
yeah,
that?
Oh, my God. The answer to that, no one should have.
Right.
Right?
So there are not only people who drank donkey semen and didn't win. Now they drank it and it doesn't even end up
it's
on
not
television.
Even on the show.
It's not even part of the show.
They were going to air it, and I think what happened was when we published the story, there was such a huge reaction to this thing that they backed off.
Do they not watch Fear Factor?
Well, this is pretty extreme.
It is. Agreed.
I mean, this is worse than eating an eyeball, right, Harvey? I think.
Oh, I think it's worse. But here's the thing. So we talked about it this morning, the fact that they're not going to air. So here's my question. So and I asked people in the room this today. So what if scientists came out and said that there is some quality about donkey semen that makes it more effective than Botox in keeping people young?
Oh my God, Harvey.
The answer is obvious. Everybody would be out there milking their donkeys.
Yeah.
No question.
There'd be a lot of hot chicks chasing donkeys all over Hollywood.
All these years I've been made fun of for having a pet donkey. All of a sudden I look like the smart one when this news comes out. One last question on this, Harvey Levin, and that is this photo that you put up on your site. Is that something that you guys put together, the two giant frosty? That's from the show?
It's from the show. We got this. What do you think we did? We went out and we...
I don't know. I looked at this.
No, we got this. We have a little a friend here who's... Anyway, we got the picture.
You have a connection. It's a picture.
A giant mug of urine, a giant mug of donkey semen, and then a couple of donkeys just moseying around in the back. So, well, next time we talk to you.
Looking really satisfied.
Were they smoking?
Sad but satisfied. Next time we talk to Joe Rogan, we'll have to ask about what it was like that day when they were filming. That is unbelievable. You can keep up with all of this great stuff. Donkey semen and Kim Kardashian, they're really not that different. Just go to TMZ.com. Check your local listings for TMZ television. Thanks for coming on, Harvey.
Bye, guys.
Thank you. Bye now.
Keep listening for your first chance to qualify for the K-Rock World Tour 2012 Destination Number 5. It is the band Korn in Amsterdam, and you'll win tickets to the Smokeout Festival and be qualified for that grand prize drawing coming up next here on K-Rock. First, Rob's got the showbiz. Be down on Monday. What's going on?
I never get tired of Kevin's impression.
It's spot on.
It is dead on. Yeah.
He is the man of one voice. And it's not even his.
By the way, Ralph, I think you're out of the room, but Kevin was pushing our Dodger guest, Josh, pretty hard about firing Vin Scully, that old bag of hot air, and putting Kevin in the booth to broadcast Dodger games.
That's the way to go, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so.
I would become a huge baseball fan. I would never miss a game. I'd go to the stadium. I would listen on radio, television, wherever Kevin was, I would be there.
I would be on all of it.
The game would be over before we could figure out what Kevin was talking about in that game.
How dare you?
Let's talk a little bit about this very cool event that I'm doing for The Amazing Spider-Man, one of the most anticipated movies of the year. If you are a fan like I am, you're going to be dying to see never-before-seen footage. I will be hosting the evening with that footage. Actually, it's a daytime event. We're doing it noon on Tuesday, February the 6th at AMC Century City. I'm hosting. We're going to show you some footage you have never seen before. Also, we're going to be doing some special surprises, and all of this will be happening around the world at the same time. I will be coordinating here in L.A. We're going to go to New York and to England.
Shrouded in mystery, this
thing. It's very shrouded, but if you're a Spider-Man fan, you will be talking about it after you see it. I'm telling you that much.
All right.
If you'd like to go, I've got a pair of passes to whoever can answer my trivia question. 1-800-520-1067. I want a Spider-Man fan, but this one should be pretty easy if you're just a general geek. I need the name of the newspaper where Peter Parker works. You know, Clark Kent, Superman, worked at the Daily Planet. Where did Peter Parker work? 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First caller gets through with the right answer will be put on the special guest list for this amazing Spider-Man event. It is Monday. It means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Gray, number one at the box office. Liam Neeson fighting wolves. See what he does? He's in this plane crash, right? And the wolves are attacking him.
Uh-huh.
This pack of wolves is attacking him and his men. So he takes the miniature airplane bottles of booze and busts them all off at the bottom.
Okay.
And then tapes them to his hands.
Oh,
so nice. He's got like glass knuckles. Jagged, brutal, death-dealing glass knuckles. And he says, come on, bring it on. I'll take you all on. And he starts punching wolves in the face and just busting them up. It's genius.
Sounds awesome.
Number one at the box office this weekend, $20 million. Underworld Awakening was number two. One for the Money, Red Tails, and Man on a Ledge routed out the top five. Then Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, The Descendants, Contraband, Beauty and the Beast, and Haywire rounding out the top 10 at the box office this
weekend. Kevin, did you ever make it to Underworld and or Haywire?
I made it to both, and both were a little disappointing.
Oh, a little underwhelming, huh?
Yep.
Underwhelmed?
Yeah.
We heard that Kevin was too sick to work, but we knew he wasn't too sick to go to the movies.
No, of course not. That he can do. Sure.
How dare you?
Uh-huh. No, you're good. I'm sure. Yeah. Those four-day weekends. I like those, too. We're very strong. Fran Drescher's back in the news, believe it or not. This is one of my favorite stories ever. She's got her ex-husband, right?
Right.
Peter Mark Jacobson. They are very good friends.
Mm-hmm.
They broke up because he's gay.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the problems in their relationship.
Well, that seems to be a... Can't really fix that.
But she believes they were destined to be together.
Okay.
Here's why. She believes before they met, she and her ex-husband were abducted by aliens.
Okay,
and
yes.
Implanted with chips that programmed them to meet.
Yes.
In an interview with the Huffington Post.
Yes.
She says they were both in junior high school. Driving on the road with our dads. We both have this scar. It's in the exact same scar in the exact same spot. And they both have these events with their fathers where they remember nothing. They have a blackout.
Love it.
The scar, she claims, is where the chip was implanted.
Sure.
On both of them.
All right.
Because aliens wanted to see if they could breed a straight woman and a gay dude, I guess. I don't understand exactly. The aliens are pretty dumb if they put a chip in a gay guy and a chick to see.
Where's the outrage there?
Where is the outrage? Why aren't more people upset that aliens are programming our gay men and our heterosexual women to meet? They're trying to end our species. That's
what
they're
doing.
How do
you know she's wrong?
That's what they're trying to do. The aliens want to eliminate the human race from the planet. So they're trying to get gays and straights to breed.
It wouldn't be easier just to wipe us out?
Sure. That's what you'd expect them to do, Kevin. We probably have some plan against that, but this is insidious.
Who would have ever thought of it?
So clever.
You don't think I feel bad?
I do. I do think you feel bad. Enrique, on line four, I believe he's my Spider-Man winner.
Geek? Yes.
It's not geek. It's Enrique. It's Enrique. Enrique, what newspaper does Peter Parker take pictures for?
It's the Daily Bugle.
It is indeed, sir, the Daily Bugle.
Yay!
Oh, I can't wait for this Spider-Man thing.
Me
neither.
All right. Sausage Fest.
We're going to give you all the details. The ladies are going to start calling in later in the week, I think.
Sure.
That's what we're giving those.
Yeah.
Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, Enrique. Thanks so much. And speaking of geekdom, Saturday night I did do my evening with Adam West, where we sat on stage and I talked about his life and career.
I don't know that I've ever seen you as excited about anything as that.
I have never been this nervous on stage in a long, long time.
That surprises me that you were nervous, because you're generally very cool under pressure, even in front of large groups, Ralph. And this is a topic that you're been prepared your whole life for. You're
right.
So intimately
right.
acquainted with Mr. West's work right. that I would think that it would be cake for you.
That may have been the problem, that I had too much information.
Too much, yeah.
Because you have to compress a man's life and 50-year-plus career into a span of about 90 minutes, 2 hours like that. To try to pick what to talk about and what to leave out was nerve-wracking for me.
Too much information and shit, man.
But anyway, we had a good time. If you want to download it, It's just $2. And we're taking donations to pay for the star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame that Adam's going to be getting later this year. You can go to ralphgarman.bandcamp.com, but it's much easier just go to the krock.com website or kevinandbean.com, and we've got a post right there, and the link is there, and you can check it out and download the podcast. I think you'll enjoy it. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Gene Hackman is 82 years old today. Vanessa Redgrave turns 75. Phil Collins is 61. Charles S. Dutton. He is 60. He's a big man, Kevin. Okay, but he's not fat.
What are you talking about?
He's just a big, strapping man. That's all.
He's the guy who went to prison for killing a dude, right, Ralph?
Yeah, Kevin. That's who that is. The guy you said was fat killed a dude.
I didn't say he was fat.
Yeah, I think you did.
He's mugs.
Christian Bale is 38 years old today.
Yeah. No!
Yes, yeah, I'm sorry. You're 38. Everyone gets older, Christian. And Wilmer Valderrama turns 32. How's he going to celebrate, you think, on his birthday?
17 different women?
Yeah. I think 32. Like candles on a cake. Winning. He's going to have one for each year.
I like it.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up. Kevin, for many years, you didn't miss a Super Bowl. You used to go every year, right?
Yes.
But then they started having them in BS cold weather cities, and you said, I am out, right? Well, once they started talking about Detroit, and now they're talking about Indianapolis, you're like, forget this,
yeah,
right?
No, it was in Miami every year. It was in New Orleans, and we would go, and it's the weekend. It's not just the Super Bowl. It's a whole weekend.
Sure.
There's the Maxim parties and all that kind of stuff. It's a lot of fun.
Well, let's see what's going on in Indianapolis. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network and, of course, DirecTV's Red Zone channel on Sundays during the season is on the phone with us. What's the temperature there in Indianapolis today, Mr. Siciliano?
It's cold.
All right.
This isn't what you signed up for.
I don't know how cold. Last night, it was pretty darn cold walking around the city. There's actually a wind issue during the day. They had to close down some outside stuff.
All right.
Mostly for the fans and, you know, with safety in mind. But last night, walking from dinner, I don't know. I'd say it was probably in the 20s last night.
Then what are they doing? Why did they make that change where now they have cold weather cities hosting? I don't get it. It seems like that's a bad deal.
You know, I'll say this. Indianapolis, I think, regardless of the cold, will be a really, really good host because everything is centrally located. Look, last year when Dallas had the snow and the ice and all that, Dallas can't deal with that stuff. I was walking down streets in Dallas last year on a Friday. The ice storm was Tuesday. They hadn't, forget about been plowed, or they hadn't touched them 72 hours later because they couldn't deal with it. Everything here is walking distance. I mean, all the major hotels are downtown. The NFL Experience, where I'm standing now, that's the big fan fest thing that had 41,000 people over the weekend.
Wow.
That is all downtown. You walk to everything. And it's like Minneapolis. They have those covered walkways from hotel to convention center to mall to everything. So you actually don't even have to walk outside that much.
Wow. Nice. And the fans in Indiana, let's face it. I mean, of course, we think of them as being basketball territory, but they are very supportive. They've had a really good football team for a long time, and they haven't had much to cheer about this season. So I'm sure they are turning out in force for the Super Bowl.
Exactly. And they have a beautiful facility. I mean, the stadium is just amazing.
Now, what are you doing? What are you doing this week as far as schedule? You're on like 1 hour or more?
We're doing total access from Indianapolis for, I think I'm doing it 3 or 4 days. And then I think Wednesday, Thursday, I'm doing like a 7 hour block each day, live, middle of the afternoon, from press conference to this to that. I think we're going to juggle knives. And
7 hours? And how do you not run out of stuff to talk about?
Right. Interviews and color and pageantry and field goal kicking contests and cold, and my makeup might freeze.
If you're in a field goal kicking contest, now I'm in.
Okay. Well, yeah. It's me against Billy Cundiff from last week.
you guys are doing nonstop from Indianapolis the whole week, right?
Correct. 100 hours of live coverage.
Wow.
Correct.
Amazing.
From Indianapolis NFL Network all day and night.
Do you think you're going to be able to cover it, or do you need more time?
You know, I think if we made it like 110, you know, everyone says we give 110%. If we made it 110 hours.
Then maybe.
Yeah. And then don't forget, guys, Saturday, the event that keeps on giving, a tradition unlike any other, the DirecTV Celebrity Beach Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Are you doing that again this year?
I am. I'll be hosting the 3D broadcast.
The 3D broadcast.
Yeah,
fantastic.
So something falls out, it's in 3D.
Oh, you know? It's going to be set. Right. The beaches in Indianapolis are so sweet.
Well, like Dallas. Look, Dallas last year, they built They built a sand field, if you would. They built the sand. But this year, it's the same thing. It's over at the minor league ballpark.
Oh, fantastic.
Has his show set up there as well, which is on DirecTV, and it's ridiculous. But yes, it will be cold. Is even more reason to watch.
Which is even better. Yes, it is.
This is the voice of our friend Andrew Siciliano here on the Kevin Bean Show from the NFL Network. We're talking about their coverage all week for the Super Bowl this week. And I have to ask you one Pro Bowl question. I had no interest whatsoever in tuning in and watching. And I don't know if anybody else did.
I didn't.
But 100 points were scored in that game, Andrew. What went on?
No defense. They don't even tackle. I mean, it should be a flag football game. But I'll say this. The ratings are through the roof.
What? Really?
I'm not trying to tell you it's a fantastic game, but there's only two football games left. That one and the one coming up next Sunday.
They were smart to move it. They were smart to move it from after the Super Bowl to before the Super Bowl.
Right. And you fill up that Sunday in between the conference championship games and the actual Super Bowl. And look, no one wants to tackle. I've had players over the years tell me, I had someone tell me once that they ran the wrong pattern and they went back and the quarterback, who shall remain nameless, got really fired up. Why did you run there? He said, dude, are you kidding me? I mean, seriously.
Andrew, I'm sure you didn't have time to watch this, but the NHL had their All-Star game this weekend, too, and they mic players that are playing on the ice so that they can talk to them back and forth while they're playing. I mean, that's how seriously they take that game. Same thing. Nobody wants to hit. Nobody wants to play defense. Nobody wants to get hurt. Yeah.
Was it Russian or was it Swedish? What were they speaking?
I have no idea.
It's so funny, though.
It's Canadian, yeah?
Okay. I'm one of these people, Andrew, that you're talking about who had that hole in his heart walking around all day yesterday missing football. I couldn't believe there wasn't any football to watch, and that still wasn't enough to drive me to turn on the Pro Bowl. I was not desperate enough to see that.
I'll be honest. I forgot about it, and I work at the NFL Network. I should not tell you that I forgot about it, but I landed here in Indianapolis.
Sure.
I met my co-host, Kara. We met downstairs to go get something to eat, and we saw the game was on the TV and went, oh,
hey, hilarious. That's right. That game's going on.
All right. So listen, so you're going to be on TV all the damn time, all week long. Check out the NFL Network, and then maybe we'll get a chance. If you have time, we can talk to you later in the week or something like that as we get a little bit closer and know what we can expect on Sunday. But I'm so glad you carved out a minute for us here today, man. Have fun. Stay warm out there, all right?
I will do my damnedest. Tell Sanchez I'll answer the phone this time.
We will.
All right. Thanks, Andrew. Bye-bye. Ralph Garman is here on the Kevin and Bean Show, taking a look at the Showbiz Beat one more time. What's going on, Ralph?
One more time.
Is that a song? Should I recognize that as something?
Yeah,
I don't
man.
Recognize that as a song either.
Joe Jackson.
Hmm. Okay.
All right. Come on, man.
Yeah.
This is just
at the time.
Just a giveaway palooza.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm just giving away stuff all week long here on the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. So come back because I got more stuff to give away. This is a very cool event. The Simpsons are celebrating their historic 500th episode milestone on Fox. Can you believe that?
That's crazy.
500 episodes. And so to celebrate, Fox is challenging fans to participate in the Simpsons Ultimate Fan Marathon Challenge at Hollywood and Highland in Hollywood. Beginning on February the 8th, Wednesday, registered fans will be able to come together to watch up to 500 continuous episodes of The Simpsons in an attempt to break the current Guinness World Record of 86 hours, 6 minutes, and 41 seconds for the longest continuous television viewing.
I'm number one! Victory is mine, so kiss my behind.
Homer might win.
Boom, chaka-laka-laka, in your face. Boo, cha, cacao, ba, a boo, a ba. Who's your daddy? A boo, do, do, ba, ba, dow, ba, do.
Every time I read this story about the Guinness World Record of 86 hours being the continuous television watching record, just makes me cry a little bit inside.
Yeah, me too. Poor Dave.
Considering poor Dave, the King of Mexico, our producer, has conquered the record twice.
He beat it twice handily.
And we've never been able to get him in the book.
It was like 70 hours, and he did 100.
Yeah.
And we did something
wrong. He should
be
a world record holder right now.
He should be.
Twice.
Yeah.
It's not my fault.
It actually wasn't his fault in this particular case.
He accomplished a world record twice, and we let him down with paperwork.
Anyway, they're inviting Simpson fans to participate. Whoever lasts the longest, whoever wins, the contest winner, will take home $10,500 in cash.
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
Okay, whoever breaks the record watching 500 continuous episodes of The Simpsons will win $10,500 in cash and The Simpsons DVD seasons 1 through 14.
So every day this week, I'll be giving away a seat to a diehard Simpsons fan to participate in the Ultimate Marathon Challenge. You have to call in now and give me the correct answer to my Simpsons trivia question, and you could be entered to participate. By the way, the Simpsons 500th episode is February the 19th, if you want to check that out.
And I'm sure someone help me with this puzzle.
All right, here it is. What is the Simpsons address? That's all you need to know, where the Simpsons live. What is their address? A real Simpsons fan would know. Call now, 1-800-520-1067. First caller to get through with the correct answer gets entered into the entry to participate.
For that thing.
For the thing. I sound like Homer.
You get to be in the thing and with the watching of the television, and you might win some money.
Go! 18th Annual Screen Actors Guild Awards were given out last night. Great event. Alec Baldwin won his sixth award in a row for his role on 30 Rock, by the way. Yeah.
And what that says is actors look at his performance on 30 Rock and they go,
Freaking brilliant. He's amazing.
Yeah. I couldn't do it. He must be great.
And it's hard to argue. He's amazing on that
show. He's brilliant on that show.
Well, a lot of people are. That's a great comedy. Betty White won for comedy for Hot in Cleveland.
Yeah.
The Help won on the movie side for Best Ensemble Cast, and Boardwalk Empire won for Best Television Cast. Steve Buscemi, who won also for actor, just... what a great guy. Just great acceptance speech. It seems like a real genuine guy.
Mm-hmm. Has people killed. You know that.
Well, he does do that, but I'm pretty sure that's just a TV show. No.
This has to be so strange for him. I mean, he was the consummate character actor.
Yeah.
Guy has a decades-long career of being just on the fringes, and now all of a sudden to be a big-time marquee movie star, essentially.
I watch Fringe. He's not on Fringe.
I'm just saying, I imagine he's incredibly grateful for the turn that his career has taken with this Boardwalk Empire.
Not a conventionally handsome leading man.
No, not at all.
Nope.
I looked at him on the screen and said, he's a TV star.
Yeah, he's got a face like a fish.
Unfortunately, it gave me a little bit of hope. Which is bad.
Yeah.
You know, I really should have given up by now the hopes that I will ever be a successful actor. But I looked at him and said, wow, look at him, and he's a TV star.
But was he wearing a leather jacket?
He may have been.
He was not.
I don't remember last night's wardrobe.
I'm going to tell you, he wasn't.
He may have been wearing leather tux, actually, I think. The whole tux might have been leather. We have an answer to my trivia question for The Simpsons.
We do.
I think Anthony might know. Anthony?
Hey, what's going on, man? How are you?
Good, thanks. What's the address of The Simpsons house?
742 Evergreen Terrace.
That's correct.
Yeah!
Congratulations. You're entered to participate in the Ultimate Fan Marathon Challenge for The Simpsons. If you win, you can win over $10,000 and Simpsons DVD. So hold on.
Awesome. Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
I couldn't possibly.
Anthony, are you going to go down there and try to break the TV watching record?
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Of course.
Okay. All right. Good luck,
man.
For $10,500, I'd do it.
Sit on your ass watching.
But how long do you think
I do it anyway? And I get nothing.
How long do you think
it?
You could last realistically, though, Ralph?
If I had my schedule freed up.
Yeah, I mean, if you were going for.
If I was going
I
for,
couldn't do it.
I could easily do 100 hours.
Of course.
Are you kidding me?
I
think that's way harder than you think it is. Talk to Dave.
Look, it may be. We may not make it, but I think I would make it.
That's my point. Dave did it.
Dave is committed to sloth, though.
There's something Dave could do that I couldn't do. And I love television.
Yeah,
but I love cocaine. So yeah, I would do an enormous amount of cocaine. I would stay up for 3 days, and I would just watch.
But just think about being awake for 24 hours, and then being awake for 48 hours,
I've done 72 hours. All those things,
really.
I've done all of those days of
that
awakeness.
To me, I just can't even.
With less to do than watch television, I guarantee you, just staring at the ceiling, just going.
I think we should try
I
to
think
get you.
My
a
heart
slot.
Is going to jump out of my chest.
That's what I call 911.
Yeah. Kim Kardashian. She's in trouble.
Who?
I'm sorry, porn star Kim Kardashian. She's very upset.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if you caught up with Keeping Up with the Kardashians this weekend, but they're starting to show the episodes now where she's acknowledging that her marriage with Chris Humphries is a disaster. 72 days, that's all they lasted.
Mm.
I could break that world record, too, by the way.
She stayed awake for all of it, I heard.
I think she did. Here she is confiding in her sister, Courtney, that she's very upset about the fact that her marriage is circling the drain.
You think I feel good that I, like... met this guy from Minnesota, and I feel awful that, like, I made him move out here and, like, change his whole life, and I feel bad for him, and I feel sad. I feel bad for the guy. I changed his whole life, and he fell in love with me, and I fell in love with him, and now my feelings have changed. You don't think I feel bad that I invited all these people to this huge wedding and blew everyone out? I wasted everyone's time.
This is completely staged.
You know, I wasted everyone's money. I wasted everyone's everything, and I feel bad. You don't think I feel bad?
Nope.
At 30 years old, I thought I'd be married with kids, and I'm not. And I failed at this, and you think that I don't feel bad?
Correct.
Not bad enough.
Yeah.
Where's the outrage there?
Where is the outrage?
I don't buy it. I don't buy that. I think that was a PR stunt. I think either. That was a...
You know, they went back and reshot footage to put in the show.
I'm not sure this marriage is working.
Pretending to talk about the marriage as if it was still going on so they could address it in the show. Her and her mom got in the back seat and they're discussing the marriage and the whole thing was shot after the fact.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reality
television. You don't think I feel bad?
Yeah, you don't feel bad
enough. No! We don't.
Except for that inevitable urinary tract infection that you have, I don't think you feel bad enough.
Where's the outrage there?
Where is the outrage? While starlets disappoint, some of them garner more love from us.
Okay. Who is it this time?
You know, sometimes you look at a girl and say, wow, she's sort of cute. Right. And then the more you get to know about her, the hotter and hotter she gets.
Yes.
Well, that happened to me today with Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, she's way hot.
She's way hot, yeah. But she's always sort of been okay for me, like attractive, but never really my type.
Mm-hmm.
Then I read this story. While other actresses are shopping on Rodeo Drive at Prada or Chanel, Jennifer Love Hewitt was shopping at the Hustler store on Sunset Boulevard.
All right!
New York Post gossip column spotted her at the Hustler store checking out the toys section.
Check out those gigantic knockers.
And apparently she was splurging on a few booty-bearing thongs, they say.
All right.
She's got some booty to bear, too.
She does.
Yeah. Now, it could be because she's researching her new role as a prostitute in a series called The Client List, where she plays a Texas mother-turned-prostitute.
Fantastic.
Or it could be she's just a lusty wench.
The horn dog.
That's what I like to believe, the lusty wench part. Hey, I've got tickets to give away to this very special event for The Amazing Spider-Man.
I already gave something away.
I know, I'm giving away more stuff. I like to give away things. It makes people like me.
Hmm.
Let me do it. Spider-Man, coming out this year, one of the most anticipated films of the year. I'll be hosting a special K-Rock sneak peek at never-before-seen footage from The Amazing Spider-Man at the AMC Century City on Monday, February the 6th at noon. Make sure you can come. It's during the day. It's a worldwide special event. With surprises, besides the footage, it's going to happen simultaneously around the world. And I will be there. You can be, too, if you call right now. 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 5. Caller number 5 that gets through wins a pair of passes to attend the screening with me. And you'll be talking about this after you go. I guarantee it.
Today's the outrage there?
I don't think there needs to be any outrage. Oh. It's a good thing.
You don't think I feel bad?
You shouldn't feel bad unless you don't win, and then you should feel bad because it's going to be a great event. Today's celebrity birthdays. Gene Hackman's 82 years old today. One of my favorite actors.
Vanessa Oscar winner, right, Gene Hackman?
I believe, yes. I think he won French Connection. Vanessa Redgrave is 75 years old today. Musician Phil Collins is 61. Charles S. Dutton from Rock. He is 61 years old. Christian Bale is 38 years old. And Wilmer Valderrama celebrates his 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Petros Papadakis. Begin to talk about sports. We have the artist is BS. The artist.
The artist formerly known as Prince?
No, the artist, the movie.
Oh.
The movie that everybody adores? That one is BS?
That is, yes. It's a load of BS.
You finally went to see it.
The great award-winning movie?
It's a giant load of BS.
You didn't care for it when you went to see it? When you saw it, you didn't care for it?
I'm not going
to
see it. Oh, okay. And from the ringer, we have Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, I love her so much.
That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.